Oh, let us bow our hearts and look to Him this morning. What a blessed privilege we have to stand in His great, mighty presence, knowing that we can come with boldness before the throne of grace. We shall obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. As we look to Him, I want to encourage you to believe, knowing that He is all sufficient today. Our gracious Lord Jesus, we embrace this blessed opportunity to come into Your mighty presence, knowing, Father, that this is Your desire, that we would be reconciled back to You, that You purpose in Your heart to slay the enmity, tear down the middle wall of partition, and restore us back to every divine favor, that we can stand with boldness. The Lord, we can stand with confidence, knowing that You love us and that You have made every divine blessing secure unto us. We pray, dear God, today as we have gathered in Your presence, coming, O God, and offering the fruits of our lips, giving praise and thanks unto You, offering a sacrifice as a royal priesthood, Lord, that You have given access into Your great presence. We believe, dear God, that as You have ordained us to come and bring the sacrifice, that Your ear is attentive to our approach. Lord, You hear the bells ringing out, holy, holy, holy. You see us dressed in the robe of Your righteousness. Lord, You hear the confession of faith that come from our lips. And dear God, as we come, Father, knowing that You will meet with us, You will supply our every need. The Lord, as we would go forth today, we leave this place rejoicing. We leave this place with that blessed assurance. We leave this place with that divine confidence, Lord, that all that we desire of You, all that we had need of, will be met today. For You said, You shall supply all our needs according to Your riches and glory. May faith come by the hearing of Your word today. Substance faith, inspired faith, Lord. Lord, where we will be trying to work ourselves up into a faith, where we will not be struggling in the energy of the flesh, hoping that You believe. But dear God, where You can deposit into our heart that divine faith, Lord, that divine revelation can drop in, that it will become a settled thing, O God, to each and every one, that Lord Jesus, they can take a grip upon Your unfailing words of promise. And Lord, go to acting as though it has already been happened, giving praise and thanks, Lord, like Abraham, believing in things that were not as though they were, Father, strong in faith, giving praise and glory unto God, not staggering through unbelief, dear God, because, Lord, You gave him an anchor of the soul. You gave him a hope steadfast and sure. Oh, God, you rubbed out every bit of make-believe, oh, God, and You tied his soul to an absolute, dear God. Father, we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he have those things from You. Let that be the portion to everyone that is in need, everyone that has come into Your house in anticipations of meeting with You, everyone, oh God, that has laid before You, Father, preparing themselves to receive from You today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that Your blessed Holy Spirit, Lord, would just move throughout this audience today And Father, you administer the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Dear God, will bring that deep conviction into every heart that your promises are yea and amen. That it is impossible for God to lie. And that with God all things are possible. May you grant it, Lord. We commit ourselves into your mighty hands. Asking, Lord, you remember, Lord, those out in Dominica this morning, in St. Vincent, in Grenada, in Tobago, Father, where they are gathered together with us in unity, O God. Father, knowing that we are praying for each other, holding up before you, seeing, Lord, how you blessed us over this last weekend. Dear God, when we came together, and now they have gone back out to their own respective places. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would continue to shower them upon them the riches of your grace, dear God. That, Lord, you'd build upon those things that, Father, you poured out here in our midst. Lord, we pray that, dear God, that there would be no need that would be brought before you in their midst today, but that you will come down and give witness and confirmation that you have heard and answered. Granted, dear God, we commit all things into your hands, asking you remember your children across this land and around the face of the earth, Father. Being lifted up into a high bracket of faith, when you are showing us how to prepare for this great rupture in faith, dear God, when you are dropping those things, perfecting what is lacking in our faith, Lord, may you grant it. We give you praise and thanks, for we ask all these mercies and that are savable here today. Bless everyone, Father, that is gathered in your divine presence. May the Holy Spirit take each and every one under your divine consideration. Lord, whatever their status, whatever their condition, whatever their need might be, Father, you give faith sufficient. Dear God, when they leave this place, they say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, for surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. May you grant it, we ask, in the precious, worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God, we should bless you. I want to welcome you in his presence, the house of God today. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Romans and also Hebrews, Romans 10, Hebrews 11. There's a verse or two in each place. I want to welcome all the strangers and also our visitors. We have Brother Howard Richardson, his dear wife, here with us. May God richly bless our precious brother and his dear wife with us today. And just do something special for all of us as we gather here. You know, I'm certainly anticipations that God would be so gracious to us. We have such needy people, and you know, we are certainly trying to see them rise up into the place where they can receive the things that God have need of them. These services are designed to bring that to each individual that is in need. Over the last weekend when we had the services, I was really blessed to see hearing even some of the songs that have been written at this time. The expression of faith in those songs, that they are catching that faith and is moving up into these things. And I'm certainly was blessed when I heard Sister Kim making that expression of faith there. And that is what you want to see. You believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth, you shall never be ashamed. Amen. And you know, to see our people catching these things, and you're recognizing what God has been trying to get to you in these last 3 months. And I trust today, I have a little thought in my heart, especially for those that are sick and those that are struggling. You see, when the pressure comes in people, they back off. And it not discourage you, but not disappoint you neither, but makes you realize that you need to really try to get them more into the presence of God, where God can just strip away all the fears and doubts and uncertainty and get them to really tie to the Word. And you know, it's not just to preach a little sermon to you and make you, you know, feel good that God loves you and so on, but also that would go to work in your heart, that even the very place where that Word is meeting you at this present time, in your circumstance, you can rise up and receive these things. And I believe with all my heart that God wants to do that for you. He has already done that. But what he desires to do for you now is to see you take him at his word and come into what he's already done for you. See, the work as far as healing you, saving you, that is finished. He cannot do that again. But he's here now to build your faith. That's what he's doing for you present tense, of building your faith. To see these things and accept these things. Amen. Because that is what is needed. That's a great thing that's lacking in many hearts that profess this faith. It just seems that they can't hold that without wavering. They waver when the crisis comes to them. They believe it. And they believe it for somebody else. Say, I have faith, but I believe God is going to heal you. But then the sickness comes in their own life and they can't believe it for themselves. Because why they believe in somebody else is not challenging them. They're not in no fear of death. So they stand up there and say, well, I believe for you, brother. But when it comes to them in their own self, they find out that what they talk about that God can do, now you want to make sure that that's yours. That's yours. Your personal property. And so I have something I've been holding my heart for about 2 weeks to preach, and I want to try and speak on it this morning. And I want to think about a thought, die faith. Just die faith. Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing. From verse 1 to 16, Paul has been speaking on this righteousness of faith, which is by faith. And now he makes his conclusion. That's why he said, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's all say that together. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What you're going to hear this morning is the word of God. You come to hear, how many come to hear the word of God? Well then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not knowledge, faith cometh by hearing. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, or things that you are under expectation for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. It is the substance and it is the evidence. The evidence of things not seen. And this you receive through hearing the word. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. The Bible tells us there are some things that is impossible with God. It's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to fail. It's impossible to that God can be pleased without faith. That is also impossible. That God cannot be pleased without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he was, he will be. Must believe. Must. He that cometh must believe that he is. You come and say, but I believe God's going to heal me one day. I believe. Go back in your seat. Go right back in your seat. Because he that cometh to God must believe that he is. But I believe God is all that he says right now. As great as he ever was. And that he is a rewarder. Notice he is. He is. Because God knows that I am that I am. Present tense. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, let's say, without faith it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. May the Lord bless you in his word. You may have your seat. So I'm speaking this morning on thy faith. And for the subject, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now you know, since September the 11th, when the world was changed, a definite line of demarcation was drawn, and we are entered into a place where We see the move, the schemes of the enemy. We were told that there was going to be a repeat performance of all diabolical cunning and cruelty. But God, rich in mercy, opened 7 seals that we could have our eyes anointed. What for? That we might see, and that we might see even the schemes of the enemy, because the Bible said the whole world will be snared. He'll catch them in a trap. But because you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep you in the hour of temptation. Is that right? So we have a definite promise that this scheme is going to catch the whole world. But if it's possible, even the elect would have been deceived. But it's not possible for the elect to be deceived. Because God, rich in mercy, I have remembered my promise and I am come down. Is that right? So God came down in this day, opened 7 seals, and he began to foretell us what the enemy is going to do. Even before we even knew the first step in water baptism, even before we come to justification and sanctification, God was foretelling us what the enemy will do, because the message was given for preparation. Is that right? A prophet standing there, watching the tower, looking off in the distance, and seeing the oncoming storms of judgment, and begin to pronounce to us, judgment is underway. Like Moses, when he saw judgment moving in, he had to get the people under the blood. Amen. Because if they are not placed in position, when those plagues strike, they will die themselves. But God always makes a way of escape for his people. Is that right? And so here we are benefiting from God's grace. Amen. We are trying to stay under the prophetic utterance of the message. And here we see the message was designed and intended to show people how to prepare for rapture in faith. That's why you open those seals. When those thunders open their voices, they will show you. You will not know until he ripped them seals of the book. Amen. You will see what his plan is also. You know what the enemy plan is, but you see how God raised a standard. Amen. God said, I come back. Something to face the challenge of the enemy. Is that right? That's right. That's why he said the greatest battle ever fought is now set in array. The contest is on. The evening lights are shining. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit has moved the bride into position, into a place where we see the moves of the enemy. That's why if you engage in warfare this morning and you fight as one that beat in the air, you have missed instructions. You have failed to understand the training. Is that right? But if you knew what you were coming into, why you are called, that you'll have to engage in warfare for possession. Is that right? Did Joshua give them a false expectation and say, you're going and God will give you the promise on your lap? Did he say that? He said, God said, be thou strong and be thou very courageous. Every place the soul of your feet shall upon, that have I given unto you. Is that right? So it means to say, they were going in there, they knew they had to fight. Is that right? But God said, this day I'll begin to magnify you in the sight of the people, and hereby you shall know that the living God is among you when you see the ark in the midst of Jordan. Hallelujah. God was doing specific things that they will understand. He's giving them an absolute, he's giving them something to tie to. Because there will come to many dark moments, there will come to many. Yes, contentions. They will have great obstacles. But they can look at those things and know that God will keep his word. Amen. Great is the Lord who ordained your every trial. Amen. He put a test there. He put a gate so you can possess the enemy gate. Is that right? That's what he did. Man. He's working his way down into your heart. He is convincing you by his love to give up, to separate, to sacrifice, took her surrender all. And as he comes in, more and more, measure after measure, you are seeing a power in your life. Amen. That can overcome every gate of the enemy. You are seeing a power in your life. Who is that power? What is that power? It's Jesus in you. In that day, you will know greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world. You will know I in you and you in me. Oh my. God have given you the land. From the Lebanon to the river Euphrates to the going down. Your healing, your salvation, your peace, your deliverance, your husband, your wife, your unsaved children. I have given them to you. Hallelujah! But every inch of ground, if you have to get that husband, you have to believe God. Otherwise, you go pushing a move on a man. If you have to believe God for that wife, you have to say, Father, you give me the best thing after salvation. Amen. I believe the deepest call in Jesus. Otherwise, you're going to be go pushing moves here, there, and everywhere. If you believe in God for the unsaved children, you'll stand there and say, Father, I take you at your word. I hold my token with unwavering faith as a covenanted son, as a covenanted daughter. I believe in what you say. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir. Glory. Say, Lord, I'm waiting on my ministry. I've been seeking you. I've been praying. I've been trying to walk in every word. Send an anointing. Lord, confirm that commission. I can step out with confidence that you are here with me. Hallelujah. My. He's given it. He tell them what he gave. He tell us every redemptive blessings. When that Jordan opened up, like when those seven seals opened, it was to do what? Bring them into an inheritance. So now they're coming to a place where sin was going to get under their feet. Sickness was going to get under their feet. Kings was going to get under their feet. Principalities and powers was going to get under their feet. Yes, sir. God tells Joshua chapter 1, every place is solid feet tread upon. Chapter 10, Joshua tells his church, you come now, put your feet on the neck of these kings. Hallelujah. Why? They were fighting for what was already theirs. They was in the land when they had to take it by experience. And the captain was there giving revelation, instruction, opening up the mystery, saying, Judah, your place is here, fight for that. Ephraim, your place is here, fight for that. Manasseh, your place is there, fight for that. Oh, man! He said, Manasseh, you called to raise cattle. Look, all your pasture lands. Philistines upon it. Gergesites upon it. What would you do? Your cattle carried stone. Your cattle carried these things. Your cattle need that grass. Would you fight with Manasseh? Judah, look, the wheat is yours. You're called to grow barley and wheat. You hear? You know to till the land. You know to plant the seed. You know to raise the crop. What will you do in this barren place? Do you believe that's yours? Are you willing to fight for it? Hallelujah. Brother, in the same way telling you, healing is yours. Deliverance is yours. I've given it to you already. Look at your body. It's going down. Look at that sickness. You can't serve God. It's robbing you your joy. It's bringing pressure in your home. It's making your life uncomfortable. Would you just sit down? Or are you willing to fight for it? Oh, man. And they could have heard the word of their Joshua. They could have heard the word of the Holy Spirit that was there, who had brought them out to Egypt, who had brought them to sanctification, who had brought them to Jordan, who had brought them in that land, who had revealed to them their position. That same one was telling them, now fight for that. Charge into the enemy. Take it.
God is with you. Oh, my. They can explain, yeah, God really gave Abraham that. And we are really Abraham's children. And I really was in Abraham loins. And I was considered in it when God gave it to Abraham, was to he and his seed. And when Jesus was dying on the cross, I was in him paying for sins. And then come there and don't afraid to move. After they explain all that, come there and be afraid to move. And that's what you're seeing. And that's the difference between knowledge and faith. A lot of people can explain that knowledge. A lot of people can explain them scriptures. But when time to act on what you believe, amen, though they hear it and they recognize the truth, there's still a fear paralyzing many. But this morning, you want to drop something in your heart, if you can receive it, to go into acting and take what he says is yours. And you see, maybe Caleb, but in a hole, in a stronghold, and I said, Caleb, what are you doing inside here? 4 days ago, I passed here. You're inside this little hole here, like you ain't sleep a good night yet. You mean that stone is your pillow? You know, I ain't seen no food. You mean to say, you're fasting here? What's the matter with you? What are you doing that for? He says, from the time God revealed to me what is mine, I'm fighting. Amen. You see me engage in battle here. And I ain't moving from here to give the enemy no place to get stronger. Right now, I have them quartered. I need a jewel of faith between me and the enemy. It's a jewel of faith. And I done check them out. It's 3 sons of Enoch. And I know what part of the land they're holding down. This one trying to mess up my mind. This one trying to bring fear on me. This one trying to paralyze my action in the world. But I have them covered. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I'm conscious of the enemy's strategy. I ignorant of his devices. I know the word is mighty to the pulling of my strongholds. I'll take my mountain. I'll take what God tells me is mine. Yes, sir. And if I see that in the negative, if I see that in the shadow, and I know we in the Ephesians at the end of the age, under Joshua commission, after the 7 seals are open, when we come back to the land of the fathers, and Caleb represents the true believer who followed Joshua, the Holy Spirit. Amen. My, I'm looking to see them engage in that kind of warfare. I'm looking to hear the confession of their faith. I'm looking to see their attitude and their behavior reflecting that faith of taking a hold. Oh, thank you, Lord. My. They understood they had to fight for what was already given. They understood being given didn't mean they sit down and God had to come back and give it over. They understood that fighting was acting upon what they believe concerning what God said. They understood that those principles went together with claiming, obtaining, and being placed, and living in the enjoyment and the benefit of what God has given, and showing that you are victorious in the battle, amen. That you have overcome, and he that overcometh will inherit all things. Is that what the Bible says? That's right. That's right. But today, somehow, people in this age of information, in this age of understanding, leaning on their own understanding, that they figure it out and they have it explained down, but are so down to the last dot. Amen. But where is that church? Where is that believer who understand the place? Who know the inheritance? Who know the thoughts of God concerning them? Who know how God bring them in journey by experience? From stage to stage, from junction to junction, until God described to them, I want you to have perfect peace. A peace that passes all understanding. My plan for you is to have the love that passes all knowledge. I want you to have the confidence you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. I want you to know nothing shall separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I want you to know greatness inside of you that he doesn't know of. I want you to know all things are put under your feet. Oh my. That's God's plan. And God know he have to perfect the faith. Like Abraham, he staggered and staggered and staggered. But the time came when God says, this man needs revelation. Little famine come, the man run down in Egypt. Thank God, it's an unconditional covenant. I had to bring him back. Because I already said I'm going to give him the promise. So he don't fail and mystic, won't keep him out. But I'm sure not going to baby him and pat him all the way. I'll have to teach him how to stand. I'll have to bring back the same test in another way to make sure you overcome it. Because I have to be satisfied he's learning the lessons. I have to be satisfied he ain't just, you know, one second noise, but still standing in the same spot. I want to see some movement. I want to see some footprints. I want to see some footprints show you walk out in that place. I ain't want them stand in the wilderness and come out the land so great and the land so wonderful and all these grapes and his own imagination is talking. No. I want to bring him in that place where he stand in the land and he have those things. And he can say, such as I have, give I unto you. Taste some of this. Hear some of this. Amen. God wants to perfect that faith. And that's why December the 31st, Holy Spirit came and started there. January, February, March. We're in the spring now. He started in the winter. And now he brings you into the spring. Amen. And that faith should be coming up in your heart. And when I heard them songs on the Easter, amen, I was seeing some sprouts of that faith. I was hearing confession. I was seeing people confessing and then willing to walk into what they confess. It tells me they were seeing something. Hallelujah! And when I began to see, I said, oh God, thank you. Amen. When faith finds its bed and ground, when the seed of promise finds a place to grow, there is no circumstances will be considered. Is that right? And I want to see that in the church. And I want to see that in the lives of the individuals. And especially in the weak ones that I'm laboring with. In the ones that are sick that I'm trying to believe God. In the ones that say they believe but don't realize they only have mental faith. They say they believe intellectually. But when the pressure comes, they back off of the belief. No. God have to rub that out. You will always live in disappointment living there. You will always live good until the trial comes. Once the storms take your light out, you're in the outer court where storms and clouds could block out your light. Once you have all this knowledge of God, amen, and you can talk about the word, and you can talk about the church ages, and you can talk about prayer, and you can talk about all these different things, and you can pray so eloquently and so on, you can articulate your words and you can define the things of God, but there's somebody standing there saying poetry. Amen. Because while you're in there, your candlestick could go out and your lamp could get smutty and dark and your wick could burn down. Amen. And you find that you're still living in a place where your light goes out and you start to stumble in the dark. But once you can get past that veil, no storm, no going out of that light, because in there is eternal light. It's not cosmic light. It's not artificial light. It's the eternal light. It's God himself, where a man and God is in fellowship and a man is under the influence. He's robing the Shekinah glory. The testimony is in the ark. And the Shekinah glory is over the mercy seat. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And confession is being made. Hallelujah! And show a man is governed and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Amen. The quickener, the one who give life to the word and make the testimony produce what it says. Where the voice of the blood speaketh better things. Oh, God wants to move your soul in them places. He's showing us. And he gave us message after message for the last 3 months. And then inside of the air, you see the unconscious people who fail to realize he have to test you on the word that's being preached. He have to bring up your conditions under the word that you can know if you believe in it or you're hearing it or it inspired to you yet that you can see where you stand. You have to bring specially designed trials in your life. Did he do that when he led them to the promise? Is it the same yesterday and forever? Is that type of the first Exodus and the second Exodus, type of the third Exodus? Is it the unchanging God? Still work by the same way, same plan. Still same objective and same purpose. That's right. Then people who are taught of God, people who understand God's ways, people who know they have been called unto a promise in this hour, people who know the plan for the age, people who understand God's objective in their midst. And how could God expect you to understand that if He Himself don't come and take the Word and open the Word and show you what He's doing by the Word? And who is sane enough to say that that is what God has been doing? And who is insane to say, I sit down here, but I know what God doing and what God wants to do. Because if God was showing from the Word what He wants to do, I will know. Who is that insane? God have even made the one who don't have faith confess it. That's right. That you know He is doing that for you. And don't think that something is going wrong. Nothing is going wrong. Nothing is going wrong in your life. People that say something goes wrong when the trial comes, that's going right. Great is the Lord who ordained your every trial. He's helping you discover in your unconscious unbelief. That's right. He's helping you understand you can be still anointed in the second realm. You look at your body in the first realm, and your body caving in, and you're in the second realm trying to reason, I might die. And the doctor says this, and this one says that, and they show me the x-ray. Whew. And you're in the second realm reasoning, they're going like this way, because God's showing you ain't living in the third realm yet. God's showing you, you only have a work of sanctification, you need a baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you think church joining and living a moral life is the Holy Ghost. But when those things come in the mind, and that second realm starts to spit out the cater, reason and imagination, conscience and guilt and memory, and all kinds of things coming back to condemn you, and you're all here, why? I don't know what to do. Then you start to realize, if only I had faith, I would have said, shut up, and all of a sudden keep quiet. But every time you say, shut up, it seems like conscience say, boo, and memory say, boo, and reasoning say, boo. Amen. And you said, oh God, there's a veil before me. If I could only break through that veil of self-will and die, am I willing to pay the price? I'm willing to let God tear this veil away so I can come into a deeper life with God. And this is where many people, you realize they come along with the crowd, but they're not listening to the Word. Israel traveled following the pillar of fire, and before they could follow the pillar of fire, it had priests with trumpets. And Moses would reveal to them, the pillar of fire is going to move. Blow the ram horns. Blow the silver trumpets rather. And they blow them trumpets. And then the people rise up and they knew what to do by the sounding of the trumpet. And that's the preaching of the gospel as the Holy Spirit is leading you into the promise. And He's revealing His thoughts and His will to you through His by His preached word. And faith comes by hearing. That's it. And this is where, if you are going to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church, he that have an ear to hear what the Spirit is teaching certain things. The Spirit is saying certain things. The Spirit is defining and posting you in certain places. The Spirit is opening the Word and releasing inspiration so that you can know how to deal with the things in this present time that you are faced with. And you come to the next station, next junction, and He opens another part of the Word and releases inspiration to deal with that. And to every place that you come, when they came to Jericho, Spirit revealed, go around once a day for 6 days, and then 7 times on the 7th day. Come to Ai.
Spirit say, stretch the spear towards this place. Every place that they had to possess, every stage of progress they had to make, this intelligence was there to open to them what they needed to do with those things. And that's why, when you hear in the word, if you know it, God planned to make known to you the things you need to understand in order to overcome the things that you are faced with, you should be saying, Father, I know in some way in this, you are telling me and giving me the answers to my situation. You are giving me the instructions to line up with your word. You are showing me the strategy to employ in my warfare. Help me to catch it that way. Don't let me just hear sentences and statements and it can't seem to come together. Let the inside teacher teach me, Lord. And if I know my inside teacher, Father, I pray that you'll give me the Holy Spirit, that you'll give me revelation, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ will rest upon me, that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened. Because trials darken every hand, and you cannot understand all the ways that God will lead you to that blessed promised land. But He guides you with His eye, and we'll follow till we die, and we'll understand it better by and by. You're coming in. What a great thing it is. And here we've been seeing the Holy Spirit trying to perfect what is lacking of faith, giving us the principles of how to work with the word. As I told you guys, what is a knowledge of the word, but it's an understanding of the spirit. And that's what these messages are designed to do, to give you an understanding of the spirit so that you can take the word now that you have heard, that you can know how to cooperate and see the Holy Spirit bring that word into such a place where that word becomes operative, where dunamis could come into the word. Not an empty confession, something in the heart. Substance. Faith is the substance. That word substance, it comes from a Greek word that means to stand. It's two words. One is to stand, the other one is under. In other words, that which stands under a foundation. A foundation. It speaks of a foundation, a basis upon which one can build a hope. One can have expectations. That word was also a legal term. It was a term that was used in the courts. And it stood for, the whole body of documents bearing on the ownership of one's property, deposited in archives and forming the evidence of ownership. A whole body of documents, in other words, a title deed, deposited in the archives and forming the evidence of ownership. If you have a house that is legally yours, you have a deed for it. And that deed would be in the archives in the warehouse. And you can get a copy of it too. Because the highest authority in the land here has the evidence, have the testimony that is your legal property purchased for you by your father and given to you as a free gift. And you have the evidence of ownership. How many know in the book of Jeremiah, where they took that title deed, and that title deed was referred to as the evidence? He subscribed the evidence. It was the evidence of purchase. It was the evidence that a possession was purchased. And where did they put that evidence? In an earthen vessel. Is that right? Faith. In other words, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the title deed of things hoped for. God deposits faith
in the archives of your heart by revelation. You don't have faith until it's revealed to you. Faith comes by hearing. It don't come out of you, it come into you. Then it come out of you. You receive it from the word first. It's been deposited. God drops that faith into your heart. Then you have it. It's revealed to you. God depositing this title deed by revelation. This guarantee that you're going to have it. This evidence of ownership that the promises were purchased by Him and given to you as a blessing, as an inheritance. Did God give them Canaan land? Was it a type of the Holy Spirit? Was every blessing and every promise that they had need of in that land? Is that right? But yet they had to come in and fight for it. Because God revealed to them what was theirs. And when God revealed to them what was theirs, then they could fight for it and take it. Then they live in it. Is that right? That's shadow. Then in substance, that Holy Spirit is that same land. Then faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall he preach except he be sent? How shall he do the works of God except he believe on him whom God has sent? How can we see the benefits until you believe and receive God's gift that he sent to you? Comes right back. That's the plan of God. That's the plan of God. Now listen. This evidence of ownership is guaranteeing the person the possession of the blessing for which he trusted God. Those who might be sick this morning, they're trusting God for healing. Those who have unsaved children, trusting God for that. Those who want more of the Holy Ghost, trusting God for that. Those who want a deeper walk, trusting God for that. Those who want deliverance, trusting God for that. Those who want to know the will of God, trusting God for that. But you need a guarantee. And when God drops that in India, it's finished. Because now you hold the evidence. Now you have the substance. Now you get the 25 cents I could buy the loaf of bread. Now you're in there saying, I'm hungry and I wonder how I'm hungry. No, you don't have 25 cents. You don't have the purchasing power and then don't walk towards the bakery. Purchasing power will make you run towards the bakery. Purchasing power, make it sing while you're going to the bakery. Now, you know why people can't sing and rejoice not yet having the bread? Because they don't have the purchasing power. They know they're hungry. They know the bakery exists. They know if they get the bread, the need will be met. They know all that. But there's no behavior going towards the bread because they don't have the purchasing power. You know what God can do. You know what the Bible says God can do. You know your call. You know how you see your name in the book. You can explain all that. But your behavior is still the same. Only because what you're talking about has not yet become substance to you. If it is, explain to me and tell me how it can be without your behavior. Explain to me how Abraham could have faith for the baby and don't buy a crib. Explain to me how Noah could have faith for the rain and don't build the ark. Explain to me how that could be. Explain to me why the prophet didn't tell John Ryan, you're healed, go back in your seat, and not go and testify. Go and confess. And whether they laugh at you, testify if you really believe it. If you're convinced. Act like it already happened. And I'll tell you today, that's why many people can't come into healing. Right there, it's a wall so big that they don't know the cross. And all the knowledge of the scripture and all the knowledge of the method, all the years of serving God is reduced to nothing right there. Because the very thing to prove they are a believer there, they can't exercise the faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Not just to believe in God. We're not talking about believing in God now. I believe in God. Not that. But the thing that you have need in your life that you know God already gives and then can't move into it. That's what I'm talking about. I ask you if you believe God give the Holy Ghost, you'll tell me yes. I ask you to get right now. Then we start the line. I ain't ready yet, you know. I ask for something I die out to. I say, do you believe if you surrender your heart right, you can get it right now? Then you'll want to make him I will be. And I'll show the Bible he is. And if you don't have the substance of the thing you're looking for, tell me how you have faith. Nothing else is faith except the substance. Did you get that? If you don't have the evidence, if you don't have the substance, what faith are you talking about? Faith is the substance. Faith is the evidence. If you don't have the substance for the that making you walk into that thing and behave like it happened, you do not have the faith. Concentrate on getting the faith rather than trying to make yourself believe you have the faith and stay in a deceived condition. That's hard, eh? But how many know that's right? You know where it comes there to? It comes there to you're not playing church now. The time has come, the prophet says, if God be with us, the time has come to act upon what you know to be the truth. You cannot act with faith until first you know what you are doing. You've got to first know what you are doing before you can have faith to do it. Faith is not a blind thing. Faith sees the thing. And faith has a hold of the thing. Even before the eyes see the thing. Mark 11:24. When you pray, believe that you have received it. And you shall? What's the order? What's the order? First, believe that you have received it. Then, you shall have it. That's the order. But how can you believe that you have received it? Your faith now will have to find, since faith only comes by the word will have to show how you have received it already. How many know you already paid the price for healing? How many know you already paid the price of salvation? How many know his works are finished? How many know you come in the spirit close, you can't heal nobody this morning? How many know no office gift? No miracle working gift? Ephesians 4 gift? 1 Corinthians 12 gift? How many know no gifts have never healed nobody or ever saved anybody? Gifts only stimulate faith. Gifts only points you to a finished work. I want to teach my church something here. You know what rubbing make believe out? Let's do some of that this morning. Someone said to me, I know the doctor was talking about a miracle that happened among a sick person. He said, preacher, don't you believe if you told them people to go and touch a tree or a post, the same thing would take place? I said, no, sir. I said, because you cannot have faith in touching a tree or a post. Faith is not that loose. Your eyes tell you there's a monitor standing here. Your sense of sight could make you read that scripture up there. If you literally. Your sense of sight could tell you that there's a pulpit, not an aquarium. Well, the same way, your eyes, your sense of sight by which you contact in this physical world can contact and declare these material things and define what it is, then faith is super to that because faith comes by the new birth. And the new birth comes by God and that is perfect. That don't fail. This body will fail because this comes by sex. This is associated with sin and death. Is that right? But that this comes by corruptible seed. But faith comes by the incorruptible seed. Faith come by the word of God. Faith come by a new birth, by the Holy Spirit. Is that right? Then your faith should declare the promises as clear and see it as clear as your center sight will see this. Is that right? Now listen. So you say faith is not loose. It's got to be based on some noted fact. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word. That's why the word tells us first it's impossible for God to lie. The word tells us heaven will pass away, but the word can pass away. The word tells us that not one jot or one tittle shall fail. Not even a punctuation mark. The word tells us that the word is God. He is first establishing to us what the word is, because faith comes by that word. That's why the prophet and the angel tell me something different to the word. I believe the word and not the angel. But if I the angel of the word, he'll speak the word. He said, whenever this angel comes, he always talks the word. And when these visions come, they always compare with his word. That's why I believe them. He said, but the vision is secondary. This word is first. Because if this word have to check the vision, this word have to check the angel. If an angel come from heaven and say something different, it'll be a curse. It's not a lying vision, you go contrary to the word. Every man with a vision and dream has to come to the human tomb. Is that right? Then this first. So when some of you come in, see, you can't see a vision from his eyes, shall be healed. And the word telling you? Then you don't understand God. You're trying to play tricks. You're trying to find cover. You don't understand what the word is here. Is that right? Oh my. Think of that. That's powerful. Then we need to re-examine what this word really is again. How many of that title deed? How many title deed? When it becomes spirit and life in you, when it's revealed, it becomes spirit and life. If it's not revealed, it doesn't matter. But with the spirit quickness, it becomes life. And that life influences you, and you become what? The very manifestation of this word that is revealed to you. You become the written epistle of all men. Is that right? In other words, your behavior concerning what you say is revealed to you will prove whether it's revealed to you or not. You say, I believe the Lord is coming soon, and you ain't getting ready for his coming? You say, I believe God prepared people right now, and you ain't trying to line up with the world? You say, I believe the Lord come, I'm ready to go. And you can't walk in all the world? These things is a mental confession. If this thing is revealed to you, you'll be proving that the hour is so, and prove that you are a true believer in that hour by bearing the fruit of the word for that hour. Because that word is spoken, there has to be somebody to believe that word to prove that hour is here. Is that right? Did John know he was the forerunner? Did he know if he's the forerunner, the Messiah must be here? Could he be the forerunner and not saying the Messiah is standing among you? I might die, but somebody else will declare, but I'm the forerunner. He never the forerunner, I have to introduce him. And if I'm here, he's here. And if I can't see him, I know you have to be here. Is that right? How many want to come in that kind of faith? Just open up your heart this morning. Because he's ministering an entrance to get you there. He's ministering you in the air. Listen. Faith is not a loser. It's got to be based on some known fact. You've got to know something about what you are having faith in. Am I having faith in the rapture? Can I know that it's offered? Can I know it started? Can I know I'm included in it? Can I know how to appear? Can I look back at somebody who is raptured like Enoch or Elijah and see my experience is like them even in that hour? Now what? So we first must know, before you can have faith in it, so we first must know how and what. what God desire is, what God plan is, and how to approach God by that plan. What does God desire? What is God's will concerning my healing? Does God want to heal me? Or am I to bear something like that? That uncertainty is what robs people from coming to healing. How many know the resurrection is a complete divine healing? How many know, maybe I'll say the next way for the intellectual people. How many know divine healing is an earnest of the resurrection? See, when they say it so, they can relate it so. When you say the next way, if they have revelation, they know what you say. Divine healing is an earnest of the resurrection. The resurrection is a complete divine healing. So if you don't have faith for divine healing, how are you going to have faith for the rapture? How do you have faith in the resurrection? Because you have to produce, you have the earnest before you walk into the fullness. You don't have two atonements, you only have one. How many of the same word that save and heal is the same word in the Bible? Now he said that thy faith have saved thee. Thy faith have saved thee. Which is easier to say? Thy sins which are many are forgiven, or take up thy banner and walk? It's the same thing. Because healing is the physical salvation of the body. The body is subject to sickness. The soul is subject to sin. You're coming out a fallen nature. You're coming out a fallen body. In that atonement, he was wounded for your transgression. And by his stripes you were? Transgression for your soul. Healing for your body. Both is in that atonement. Then, you find out some people say, I'm saved, I'm sure I'm saved. But just watch how your soul came into salvation until you experience the reality of it, until you have the evidence of it, until you know you're not the same person. The disease that was in your soul is no longer there. The symptoms of your sickness and your unconverted nature is no longer there. At one time it used to be there. You used to drink, smoke, curse, gamble, steal, lie, love the world, and every different thing. It's not there in your life anymore. It went somewhere. Something happened to you inside it. To free it from that condition. But then now in your body, you see tumor, cancer, and tuberculosis, and diabetes, and different things inside your body now. Well, if your body could come through the same way your soul went through, the same salvation you get in your soul, you'll get in your body. How could somebody come through salvation of their soul and they come through the atonement? Is that possible? Could somebody be a Christian and get saved without seeing coming through the cross? Is healing in that cross? By his stripes, you were healed? Then if God has already healed you, how could there be a question if it's God's will for it to be healed? Your theology don't doctor the Bible. So I have to bear this, you know. That's your confession. And you can't live above your confession. You live what you confess. Well, I have a message coming down after this one. You show the power of your confession. What your confession is where you live. When you say you have it, you have it. Where you say you are, there you are. He said, I've seen that here. Because you're watching that and you're not watching the word. For you to get what the word say, you have to line up your thoughts with the word. If you're not in harmony with the word can't work for you. A lot of people fail to realize the necessity of lining up their thoughts with God talks. As the requirement to come in to the blessing that they are seeking from God. Are you getting that? Everything that you are seeking from God, God has a word concerning that. In other words, you cannot have faith for nothing from God if you don't see God promise that to you in the word. Because what will be the basis of your faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the, then you have to find in the word to have faith in it. Is that right? You have to find in the word. Otherwise, that's why faith is a revelation of the will of God. When the word is revealed to you, you know, God already gave me that, and I live it out in my promise. I claim it as mine. I'm going to act on it. It already happened. What am I doing? I'm understanding how to come into agreement and align with the word. So I believe that I have received, I shall have. I already have the title deed for it. My faith declared invisible. My faith don't look to the physical. My faith look to the unseen. And my faith see God already give it to me. And because my faith sees a whole of that. My faith have appropriated that. My faith have taken a whole of that and refused to let it go. Then I can believe in things that are not seen with the eye. Why? Because I have the deed for the house. I ain't seen the house yet, but I have the deed right here. Official, authentic, notarized deed with the government seal and everything describing the property even before I see the property. That seal can't be on it. It can't be vindicated and proven. Amen. If a property don't exist. Anything that God said in this word exists. Once it's said in this Bible, it exists. Hallelujah! My! We're talking about real faith here now. We want to walk. We want to see people rise up and begin to walk in what God has given them. Faith is not that loose. We must know what God desires, what God's plan is, and how to approach God by that plan. He that cometh unto God must first believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I can't come to God haphazardly, hoping, saying, Father, if it's your will, you heal me this morning in Jesus. I am praying wrong. I am not lined up with the word. I am doubting what God says. I am expressing ignorance concerning the finished work of Jesus Christ. I need to get my thoughts filtered. I need to get my thinking lined up with God's word. Because confession means to say the same thing. God's word say one thing and I say the next thing. So I am conflicted with God's word. And two can walk together except they be agreed. Is that right? Then we can walk up boldly to the throne of grace and plead what the plan is promises. My, what a great thing. And the message ministry explained, he says, now, first we must be sure that it is the will of God to heal. We ought to take some time on that in the meetings, which the managers probably will, upon the will of God to heal. How Jesus died to heal. How the consolation was given, how the commission was given first to heal. First thing he said when he went, sent out disciples, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Freely as you receive, freely give. That was his first commission, Matthew 10. And Mark 16, the last commission, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Not baptized and believe, believe and baptize. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Why?
All the world. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents or drink deadly things and hand them. And if they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. See? He said, "We first thing we have to know, is it God will to heal?" He said, well, go to the Word. His first commission, his last commission. Both was to heal. Then, he said, what the matter is, we Christians get too weak when it comes to the showdown. We wonder if it's God will. Well, I ain't think it's God will, nah. My mother had to inherit this. My father had to say, I inherit that. He said, you have an abstract title deed. You stop that curse from going any further, because all in Adam die, but all in Christ live. And when you come out of the first Adam and you come into the second Adam, you're in a new family. You're not in the family with the curse. You're not in the family with the fall. You are part of a new creation that have no sickness, that have no fear, have no death, have no torment. You are more than conquerors in this family. That's right. I want you this morning. You have sickness in your body robbing you from your health. First, you have to recognize your health is part of your inheritance. You have to know that God, above all things, you have to prosper in your health. You have to know God did a work to heal you, that you are already healed. But you don't know it. You don't see it yet. Many of you don't see it yet. All you see is the symptoms. All you see is what the doctors say. All you hear is what the doctors say. But when you see what God says, then you come between two trees. The doctor is one tree and God is one tree. You come before the message of the hour and you come before the science of this world. And you have them two trees. And you stand right there to choose which you will serve. Probably the surgery make you lose your organs. You lose your organs by surgery. When you don't have enough faith, you say, God, you go to the surgeon, and he just cut it away. Because you don't have enough faith. Because it revealed to you. So he cut it out. You keep on living. But you lost the battle of faith. You lost the battle of faith. And you have an organ less. And then you still have to come back and trust God to heal back the place after he take away the organ. And at least you know your condition, you don't have faith. You're alive in the body. But in your soul, you're very weak. And if you don't have faith to divine healing, you still need faith to go into rapture. So you have to face the facts. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if you're satisfied by coming to church, and wearing church clothes, and going to church ritual, and that satisfies you, and you don't possess that conquering faith, that overcoming faith, you're not living by the faith of the Son of God, then it shows that you satisfy the wrong thing. Because you are talking, coming to church as pleasing God, when God in faith is impossible to please him. That's his own faith. That's his own faith. Is that right? That's why you can say, Father, I do those things that please you always. Father, I know you hear me always. How many of the bride is faith of his faith, virtue of his virtue, life of his life, spirit of his spirit? Then to be in the bride class, you're not part of him. I can't show you it's part of him. By your life that you live. Then you're in the church class. You're part of the natural church. A sanctified life, not a Holy Ghost in life. Because the Holy Ghost is the title deed. Is that right? Holy Ghost make you a seed of Abraham. Is that right? By one spirit you are baptized in Christ, and dead in Christ become Abraham's seed and heirs of the promises. And Abraham faith called things that were not as though they were.
and you walk in the steps of that same faith of your father Abraham, you live by the faith of the Son of God. He walked right into a new body. Is that right? Exactly right. Now listen. Let me move on a little bit. So this great faith we are talking about here. Luke chapter 5. I want to read something there. To show knowing the will of God concerning this faith. And I want you to believe. I'm trying to show you this morning. It is God's will for you. There is no question about whether it is God's will. And if you know it's God's will, that should bring peace. And if the devil have hold you for years in uncertainty, may the revelation of God's will today rid you of your uncertainty. Because as long as you have uncertainty, you cannot come into healing. Before anybody can have a steadfast faith for the healing of your body or your soul, they must be first rid of all uncertainty, all double-mindedness concerning God's will in this matter. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And let not that man ask God for anything, he shall receive nothing of the Lord. Yet, be certain of God's faithfulness. We had messages in them two things. We have a little deeper here this morning. Watch. Luke 5, verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according to as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now watch this here. This is very beautiful. The leper didn't have faith that the Lord would do it. He said, if you will, I don't know if it's your will, but if you will, you can make me clean. In other words, I know your power to heal me. I know your power to cleanse me, but I don't know if you'll do it for me. Would you do it for me? How many knew when David and them stood facing Goliath? Saul knew that God could destroy Goliath. But David knew that God would do it. A lot of you believe this morning God could heal. God could save. God could deliver. God could supply needs. You believe God can do it. Anybody asks you. You say yes. God put a ram for Abraham. God opened the Red Sea. God rained down manna. God gave Elijah strength in a cake for 40 days. I believe God can do all these miraculous things. But you don't know if God would do it. That's the difference. When it's not revealed to you. You say, well, I believe God can do it. But that's not faith. That's not faith. Because faith is a substance. You already got a grip on the thing. So this leper says, he said, he didn't have faith that the Lord would heal him. Though he knew that God, he could do it. He said, if thou will, you can make me clean. But look at Jesus correct him. He was questioning the will, whether it was the Lord will to heal him. And the Lord is saying, I will. That's where I come from. That's my purpose. What was he doing? He was correcting his attitude of approach to the word. You don't come wondering if God will do it. You come knowing he promised. He has already done it. And if you lack faith, you ask God to help you faith to come into the place to receive what he already has given. But watch. He corrects him by saying, I will. And when he revealed his will to heal him, it raised the man's faith up. It lifted the man's faith up. So now the man could receive what he had need of. The faith that takes a hold of the promise, the faith that seizes a hold of the promise and brings you into the blessing, is not a faith that say, if God can do it. It's a faith that knowing that God will do it. You getting that? Too many people have that attitude. Because faith, catch this. I know some of you intellectual ones still wrestle with that. Let me go a little further to blow some of the fluids out of your mind. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. You can't have faith until the will of God is revealed to you. And when the Lord says, I will, then the will of the Lord in the matter was revealed to the man. Then the man had faith to come into the blessing. He's correcting the man's attitude. You don't come believing one thing, I will. I will. A lot of people just look like they are trying to persuade God, to get God to do for them what they deserve. Because like God standing up uninterested. That is not the Bible. The Bible is while you were yet sinners, he died for you. The Bible is while you were yet sinners in ungodly condition, he paid the price for you and made it secure for you and come back by the Holy Spirit to quicken you who are dead, to recognize what he done for you, to make you live in the blessing he has made available to you. That's the Bible. That's why many times people who think they deserve something because they're living a good life. Well, I have no sin in my life. Well, I praise in God. I please God. I know God will give me this. And they think that they deserve to receive it. They don't get it. The problem is that's why when Jesus came, many of them righteous Pharisees couldn't get healed when Gentiles and sinners was getting healed. And when Jesus couldn't find faith in Israel, he found a Gentile who said, I ain't worthy to come under my roof. Because those people thought in their righteousness they deserve to get it. But faith is not based on that. You can't do nothing to merit God's free gift. He said, that's why, he said, in the prayer line, I found out that God don't respect nobody church. He said, because I saw Pentecostals missing the healing, and I saw Catholics getting it. And he was learning God. He wasn't doing the healing. He could only lift the faith when God, in the form of the angel, was revealing to him the needs of the people to help lift the faith of the people. He said, because the angel don't heal and I don't heal. Jesus already healed. He said, but the angel has revealed to me what you're sick with. And if there's something to hinder you from coming to healing, to tell you what it is. And if there is sin in your life and something you need to make right to get to the line up with God, he just tell me what it is. And that will help you line up to come in and receive what Jesus Christ gave. Because the gift is only stimulating your faith to build your faith to the spot to receive what you already given. He said, because many times people come with hope instead of faith. And then he has to use the gift to help them come into faith. He said, 90% who come in the prayer line didn't have faith. Because they wasn't taught faith, they didn't know what faith was. And let me tell you, it didn't reduce much far from that. Everybody find a lot of messages, people sick and walk around, can't come into healing. Because they still don't understand the approach to coming to it. And in this warfare, Satan, apart from false anointed ones, messing up people's minds with false teaching, he's bombarding churches with sicknesses in the body. Because Satan, in this greatest battle ever fought, and his devils anoint people with unbelief and anoint them with sickness. But God, Michael angels, anoint them to cast out devils and cast away sickness and anoint the people with faith. It's a battle going on in the churches. But of course, people don't see that that's the battle. People don't realize, like how he came and afflicted Job with sicknesses. And take away his health. Satan can do that. And in this warfare, when God is proving a church is coming to rapture in faith, and he says, go at them. And when Satan comes, he comes at the body. Then he gets at the spirit. And brothers, some are sick in the spirit as they're sick in the body. Some so melancholy. Some so depressed. Some so guilty. Some so full of condemnation. Some so bound with fear. Some so confused in their mind as to what is right and what the will of God is. And you can imagine when a person's soul and spirit is in that condition, and then Satan starts to afflict them with sickness in the body, well, they get in the fast lane to the graveyard. Why? Because as a Christian, they are not, they think they're, well, maybe, you know, God will to heal me yet. The eternal God had to get ready. What is his unreadiness? All of a sudden, somebody gets spiritual to make God themselves ready, but make God not ready. That kind of thinking has paralyzed the faith of so many people. That kind of thinking that have no basis for the Bible. Faith is the title deed, is the foundation upon which our hope is built. Faith is the guarantee, the evidence of the things not seen. You have the substance, and the substance is the very evidence. The title is the evidence, the house belongs to you. You have it! That kind of thinking, it has no Bible for you. Somehow, people in their minds, these opinions and these ideas are formulated, and they live by them, and best to smoke cigarette. You guys know the prophet called that? He says, Satan punch a hole in your filter, and the poison nicotine of unbelief coming through your filter, and you're drawing death into your soul. Because instead of you get deceived by a false doctrine with some false preacher, you invent your own false doctrine and deceiving your own self. How many Bible people deceive their own self? Well, a false preacher with a false doctrine deceive a people. Well, some people invent their own false doctrine. They have their own private interpretation. And how many Bible say they would have no private interpretation? They have their own well-worked explanation. They have their own educated guess concerning the matter. The thoughts don't line up with the thoughts of God. Our thoughts and God's thoughts must be lined up. The man said, if thou will. He said, I will. What do you mean if thou will? See if you can read the Bible right. You kind of read that and you know what you're reading. It sounds good. Jesus is correcting the man's attitude. You know, they come humble. Lord, if you will. He glared at him, if I will what? I will. You trying to make me have no compassion? You trying to make me insensitive? You trying to make me not touch the feeling of infirmities? You trying to make me hard and callous standing here, seeing you suffering and carrying you to help you? You trying to make me understand who I am? And what authority I have? You trying to make me love one day and do I love the next day? Is there another healer beside me? He's the only healer there was. See, our thoughts and God's thoughts must be aligned, must be in harmony. There must be agreement between you and God's word when you come approaching God for anything. Listen to this quote, enticing spirits. I am positive sure this morning, if men and women could only get into the position of where their soul, their thinking, their attitudes would be perfect in the sight of God, that would be one of the most powerful churches that ever existed. Where is this powerful church going to come from? Start to get lined up in your thoughts, in your thinking, in your desires, in your attitude. A word that can find where your unbelief lay. A word that can start to rub your make-belief out. A word that can start to bring your mind into agreement with God's mind. A word that can begin to unveil to you what God's will is, that you can begin to have faith, because you cannot have faith for anything if you don't know the will of God concerning that thing. Faith begins when the will of God is revealed. Until the will of God is revealed, there is no faith. Oh my, I'm just in my opening stages here still. Let me tell you more quickly. You don't want to lie detector, watch. Just a few minutes on the physical. He explained to them about this thinking and how the church have to come into that place. And you think about your circumstance. I'm speaking to you, we've been working here in this line. I'm trying to wean you from things and bring you up into a place where you can begin to walk and claim those things. And we're talking about Caleb taking, fighting to take what is yours, what is already given to you. Now, we have many times for years, we got what we call a lie detector. You can put it in your wrist, set it across the head. You can get in the air and try your best to make a lie sound like the truth. It'll register negative every time. Because a human was not made to lie. Lying is a deceitful, hard thing, evil thing. I'd rather have a drunkard with me any day than a liar. Your body wasn't made to lie. No matter how sinful you are still a fallen son of God. The most sinful person this is today. God didn't intend for you to be sinful. He wanted you to be a son or daughter of His. You made up in His own makeup, but sin has caused you to do that. And no matter how much you try to impersonate and try to make a lie seem right, they got a scientific instrument that proves that it's wrong. You can tell it with all the innocence you want to, but it's still registered negative. If you can do that naturally, well, I was not there that day. I didn't see the man get shot. And you cry, boo, 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 boo. Your Honor, I really wasn't there. They tried to accuse me, I wasn't there. The lie detector will say, you are a dirty liar. Everybody will be crying in the courthouse. Put your that machine and say, you are a dirty liar. Because you're not registering off of the first conscience, it's registering of the subconscious. Well, if that is going to expose you about a natural thing, not even a natural thing you could get away. You mean to say you could get away from the devil, bluffing the devil that you believe God promised? I believe it! And down in here, he said, but I ain't sure it might work on me. You think you'll get away with it? Let me tell you, it has nothing like God will bring you into the promise even though in that condition. God will have to rub that make-belief out. God will have to perfect that faith and then bring you into it. Satan will make you feel, well, God will understand. I'm trying hard to believe. No. You're trying hard to believe with intellectual faith. God will root that thing out and give you His faith. And your faith will confess it and act like it and walk into it. Then why don't people come to a real examination of what patch of thing they're holding on to and just throw it away and get something real from God? That's where God told the prophet, you have to be more sincere. You see, sometimes you hear sincerity, you're thinking about sin. Immorality. He said, you hear about confession. Say the same thing. He said, half the time you're thinking about immorality. He said, the word is not talking about that. The word is talking about you lining up with God's word and saying what God would say. But it shows you, Armenians, legalists, the only failure for God is to get into immorality when sin is unbelief. And unbelief is the demon's power. That's the power of the enemy. Unbelief. As long as it makes you doubt, you're finished. Listen. Because there's a subconscious, not a human being. And that subconscious knows what's truth. No matter what you are saying out here, that subconscious knows that it's a lie. It rides off the subconscious. Therefore, if a man or woman could ever get their thoughts and their testimony and their lives so lined up with God. Jesus was lining up the man's thoughts with his thoughts. Your thoughts is, if I will, and my thoughts is, I will. We can't work you saying, if I will, and I saying, I will. So I'm going to reveal to you, I will. Get your if I will out of the way, because there's no if with me. If is like, I want to do it, but you might convince me to do it. I've already done it. You're not getting me to do something for you. I know your needs, and I know what you have need of, and I made provision for you for life's journey. I am all seven compound redemptive names. From the time you from the cradle to the grave, I am everything you have need of in life journey. You ain't coming here hoping that I kind of, as an afterthought, make an inclusion in the plan for you because I didn't think about you and what your need going to be. That is not God in the Bible. No. Everything for you is already planned for before you come here. Are we getting somewhere? You still locked in now? They're locked in here. It's a war against unbelief. Because you know what happens when that devil starts to get exposed? Some of you sit down there and you start to get unconscious and you start to kind of waver. And then when the devil realizes he gets exposed and his power and hold and you've been broken, you know what you do? He comes into and condemns you and says, yeah, that is you. That is you. He had this all the time, you know, controlling you. Now God exposes him to deliver you. He starts to say, yeah, that is you. You say, that is me, what that's you get to my life. You exposed this morning. You get under my feet. Say, you had me believing a lie all the time. You had me doubting and uncertain all the time. You had me double-minded. Out of my life. And you say, Father, I thank you. Your light is bright. You're shining in them places. You're exposing that evil. That's right. Yes, sir. If man and woman could ever get lined up, oh, God, line us up. Where with freedom from their hearts. With faith for from their innermost. Many people come to the altar to be prayed for. They have intellectual faith. They confess their sins and join a church by intellectual faith. They believe in their heart, their mind. They believe it because they heard it. They believe it because they know it's the best policy. But that's not what God looks at. He don't look at your intellectual faith. He looks at their heart. Where on the inside, God, when it comes from their heart, all things are possible then. Your confession meets up with your life. Your life speaks as loud as your confession does. He say you go to confessing it, God will bring your body and make your body obey confession. You get that? You start to confess it, God will make your body obey your confession. John Ryan said, praise the Lord, I'm healed. Extra, extra, read all about it. Praise the Lord, I'm healed. Extra, extra, read all about it. Praise the Lord, I'm healed. And the body came subject to his confession. Abraham said, I'll have the baby anyhow. I'll have the baby. God said it. I believe it. I'm prepared for it. And God made the body subject to the confession. That's right. When your confession says one thing in your life, lives another, there's something wrong somewhere. That's because you got intellectual faith, not a faith from your heart. That shows outside here is a knowledge of God, but inside here is a demon of doubting. Outside here is a knowledge of God. Boy, the prophet say, I was reading this today. Oh, I tell you. I wish. It's like I was rapping it. I thought so too, that's why I stopped. I was going for the next one. Tell you. So I believe in divine healing, but it's not for me. You see? It could be so, but I don't believe it. Get it? Outside you say yes, inside your conscience says no. You see, that same scientific thing, that lie detector would prove that wasn't right. Put that lie detector on Christians today. Oh, I believe. And they send it out here, so ain't good. Influential. But they will say they are lying because their soul is questioning. Let me open up a little more for you. Let's go back now. What of God? The Lord have to correct the attitude of approach to the people who was coming to him, knowing he was the Word, expecting to receive a blessing from him, but not coming in agreement with him. Their thoughts wasn't lined up with his thoughts. But if our thoughts can be so lined up, we'll be the most powerful church ever. Mark 9, verse 14. This is right after the Mount Transfiguration experience. Verse 14, Mark 9. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioned with them. And straight to all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and run to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question you with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. Ah, this man knows the condition of his boy. He had a dumb spirit. He had more than a dumb spirit. Because a dumb spirit don't throw you in fire and water. He's epileptic too. He's going to fits and convulsions. But what's something? He said, well, bring them to your disciples and they can't cast them out. I thought your church had power and your church had no power. I'm disappointed. My desire is unfulfilled. He answered him and said, oh, faithless generation. Look at the response from the Lord. Oh, faithless generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him straight with his spirit, tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. The boy had one of his hardest attacks when they brought him in the presence of the Word. And he asked his father, boy foaming and wallowing the ground. Lord looked at the father and says, how long is it ago since this came unto him? He said, of a child. See, the Lord have no vision. He's asking the father the question. He don't know. But you have to know the history of the case. He's not going to try to do something without knowing the history. So he's going back into the history. How long this is happening before? And oftentimes, it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, you're approaching the Word. He that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. You don't come to God and ask God, God, you can do anything for me? That's an insult. That's unbelief. Because you have to believe he can do it before you can come in faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And if you come without faith, he can't do nothing for you if you don't believe. Because it is your faith. I ain't getting the substance of my message yet. Thy faith. I'm building on it here for you. See, first the man said, if thou will. This one said, if thou can do anything. How much of you is that leper? And how much of you is this man here? And how much of you need your attitude corrected like them? And how much of you need to become conscious that your thoughts is not lined up with God's thoughts? And you and God not in agreement. Yet you come into him, won't have a need. You're conscious of your need. You can explain your need. From small this boy have this. And oftentimes, you just go in the water. You just fall in the fire. You can describe your situation. When the headaches come, it's like a migraine. My head just wants to burst. Sometimes I roll on the floor. Sometimes I take orange peel. Sometimes I drink garlic. One time I went and juggled in the morning. One time I do push-ups. I think I joined the gym. I think I'm doing this over here. and you could describe your situation, and I have an x-ray, and the doctor tell me this, and I have over here, and this other doctor, you know, he tell me I'm ready for surgery, and this one tell me, no, I don't need that. The bushman tell me, this is a bush medicine. That have nothing to do with God. All that have nothing to do with God. That is just you taking up with your own self and your own condition, and you learn to describe and articulate and define all your circumstance in minute detail. That still has nothing to do with God. Because you explain your circumstance means nothing. Do you believe he has done it? Are you willing to line up your thoughts with his thoughts? Are you willing to look away from your symptoms and come into agreement with him? Because this is what is important in coming to receive the blessing. Not you explaining your circumstance. He is talking with the man that contacted the spirit of the man to see the case. Because he's not trying to work in the energy of the flesh. Because he understands healing and these things is governed by laws. That's why when you have people can work with the word, get everybody want to run and do all kind of things without even discernment. I'll show you just now here how much gifts was in operation right here. You had wisdom to know to find the history of the case. Then then knowledge come and show me not just one spirit, there's more than one spirit the boy had. Then he had discerning of spirits to know this kind don't go except by prayer and fasting. Then he had to correct the man's attitude. Then he goes into prayer and fasting. How he take that for certain kind of spirits, and he know which kind to. That's why sometimes somebody look at a situation and they don't realize how much things is involved in the situation. And they just have excitement. I just woke up thinking that they're going to do something and fail to understand there's laws that govern this. And you have to work with the word, and the person have to get the faith, because you can't do it if they don't have faith. And if it is for them and they don't have faith, then you now have to concentrate on building the faith to get them into the condition to receive it. Even though you know it's for them and they will get it, but you have the faith, you have to build the faith to get it. When are we going to grow? God wants us to grow up as a people. God wants us to grow up and know the word and know him. Watch. And oftentimes, verse 22, it casts in the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, see, next if again, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. The Lord glared at him and rebuke him sharply. Because he comes in, if thou canst do anything. He said, if thou canst believe. All things are possible if thou believe it. And said to the father, the child cried out and said with tears. You see? First he come, I forgive the disciples, and the disciples can't cast him out. You can do anything? He get one rebuke, it crack him up, he's gonna cry. And when he cried, hear what he cried for. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Because he realized, it's not I come if you can do anything, it's I have to believe. I have the wrong approach all the time. That's why the disciples couldn't even do nothing for the boy. Because I think it is magic. Lay all the magic hand on him. And I have no faith for my child. Because you stand here and you don't even know. No man never healed nobody. Nobody prayer never healed nobody. The prophet said, the angel say, if you get me, if you pray when you are sincere, then nothing cancer will stand before you. He said, that do not mean it is my prayer healing them. I have to help build a faith. That's why after the first gift, he said, I'll give you a next one to help build a faith. First of all, tell him it's a germ disease you have, tuberculosis. You have this. He said, yeah, that is true. Then, it might have sin in the life now, but that sign is picking up sin. You live with a man wife, that's why it's come. That sign is picking up that. You say, if it's not, I have to see by a vision now. So I see a vision. I say, you was a blonde-headed man in the car one time, in the war. See? Because now, that devil there is bringing nervous condition. You know God, they exposed it in the Bible? In the Old Testament? To deliver people? How many know God revealed Ahab and Jezebel's sin to Elijah? How many know God revealed David's sin to Nathan? David and Bathsheba's sin? How many know God revealed Jehoshaphat's sin to the prophet that you love what God hates? How many know God revealed Jehu, the son of Hanani? God revealed him the sin of Jeroboam. He said, you Jeroboam, what? The man blind along there. He said, you Jeroboam, what? Who come in here tiptoeing? And dress up like nobody can make you up. The man's along there blind, you know. Yeah, the prophet sees him on the next side. He said, go tell Jeroboam, this child go and die. Prepare for the funeral. Is that right? He says, so watch. People coming to be healed many times and fail to realize that the same God they're expecting to heal them know their sins. Know their secret sins. He said, don't come. Otherwise, he'll call it out on the platform. He said, and if you know you have something, go and make that right first. Because you can't commit sin to get healing. Because you don't understand the approach and the basis for it. I'm trying to show you what thought I'm on. Your thoughts and God's thoughts have to line up. You, for you to make a confession, you and God have to say the same thing. Well, before you and God can say the same thing, and then just repeat it, you and God have to think the same thing. Because word is a thought expressed. And when you start to think God's thoughts about the thing, then it's no longer the carnal mind which is enmity with God. It is now God's will being revealed to you. You become subject to the revealed word. You getting me? Now watch as we go further here. Watch this. So the Lord rebukes him to correct his attitude. He said, thou canst believe. All things are possible if you believe it. And straight the father, the child cry out. Because now he recognizes sin. It's not the disciples can't cast him out. Or the Lord, if the Lord can do anything. It's me. God help my unbelief. It is me having the wrong approach. It is me having the wrong understanding. I'm approaching the word. Well, you are still, he is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you are approaching him for healing, deliverance, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, divine revelation, any blessing in the atonement he promised you this morning, if there's something in your life lacking that you have need of, and you are looking for him to meet it, what is your approach? What is the attitude of your approach? Are you lining up with him? Are you coming on the basis that those things are given, expecting to receive it, confessing what he says? Or are you coming saying, well, I know if it's your will now, and maybe if you could do it for me, Lord, I would really appreciate that. And then in your mind, you're trying to make yourself sound sincere, but in your word and your confession, you're unscriptural. That is sincerity, but without truth. You can be sincere and sincerely wrong. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirits and said to him, thou dumb and deaf spirit. And then the man said, a dumb spirit. I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch as that many said he is dead. The hardest attack, the boy get worse when he come before the Lord. Until they talk, he's dead. Everybody thought he's dead. Such an attack. He went into the worst fit he ever went in. And that's where many times people, when they're coming for something, they're coming and they stand up there unconscious, and that devil is about to be exposed and cast out. That devil has to recognize authority. Once I see a man trying to stomp your foot and gasp, and say, get cut off! You have to do that.
He said, because when Jesus came walking to the devil was screaming and saying, don't cast us in the deep. He said, let me go to the swine. Please, let me go to the swine. He never stomped no foot and do nothing. He said, devils work on his authority. He said, when they went to the son of Sceva, they said, who's all you? I know Jesus and I know Paul. Who's all you? Wait with them, she said, cast me out. You have power over me? And the demon attacked them. Is that right? They recognize authority. They recognize authority. And he said to them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. What's that? Discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. This kind do come forth by nothing except by prayer and fasting. How many people want to go and run down deaf spirit and dumb spirit? I cast you up in Jesus' name. Lord, let your mighty power come down. You open the seven seals that are the Son of God in the bright age. I believe the seven thunders, Lord, and my place in Christ. Wasting the time? No discerning of spirits. You have discerning of spirits? That's one of the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12. Knowledge. To know. To reveal things that your natural mind can't tell you. Wisdom to know this man don't have faith. This instead I feel sorry for this man, get woke up in the flesh, and then I do trying to work on his sorrowfulness in a spirit of sympathy and emotion because I get pulled into his current. I need to see his condition, see his faith is down here, but what he needs, if faith to get up here. So I have to correct his attitude and build his faith up here to take a hold of this. So when I am him in agreement, then he can receive the blessing that he come for. It's not against him. Faith is a key. Faith is a key. You have the key, and you know what key opened that door. And you pull the key out, you turn it, and you have access to a blessing that is there. If you have to get anything God promised, there's laws that govern it. You could scream and shout, oh, electricity light up this place. It wouldn't light. But you work by the law of electricity, you'll get the place light up. Is that right? That's what we're talking about. The prayer of faith. See, notice? He prayed. Cast the demon out. Because the prayer of faith is not to come before the word is planted. It's to come after the word is planted. Some people want, but you know, I'm sick. I have a tumor. And the doctor tell me, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. I rebuke this devil. No. No. You are acting as though your faith is going to heal the person. It might make that demon leave in the service and they walk outside, they'll come right back in them. How many know when I'm in the spirit of a person walking dry places and come back? How many know when a demon is cast out, you have to live for God? In order to keep that healing, you have to live for God. Go and sin no more, let's say. Worst thing happened to you. You're going back in that same life. He said, you guarantee you're going to get worse. That devil is coming right back. Is that the Bible? The Genesis teach that? And tell me, can you have authority to say, and let him no more? And yet, you don't know. He's not going to go and live for the Lord. You could have authority to tell the devil, go and then do no more, and yet he'll go back in the world. You see how a lot of zeal is around the place? You see how a lot of people enthusiasm is around the place? And no revelation of the spirit world? No revelation of the laws of God? You see how a lot of carnival police? A lot of people masquerading. take a girl run over by a truck, eh?
You know, we'll pull inside of a truck and pop behind here. And you are sent by the state, authorized, take a girl run over a dump truck. Flatten you like that stuck on the highway. They shovel you off when that thing pass over you. The disciples, the prophets had power, but they had no faith to operate the power.
And the word had to make their unconscious unbelief conscious to them. Even from discerning what kind of spirit the boy had, he went straight to the disciples and discerned their spirit too. Is that right? He said, Lord, why couldn't you cast out? Because you unbelief. He discerned something in them that they couldn't see in their own self. His church and the case he deal with. Both of them, right there. They needed greater faith. So watch. First, unbelief had to be removed. The man come in, if thou can do anything. Every time he make that confession, the Lord know, I have to deal with this unbelief. I have to correct this man's attitude before we go the next step. You understand what I'm saying? And I want you brothers and elders and ministers here, I want you to listen to me close. That's why sometimes in dealing with things, people just put pressure on people and get them hurried, and then sometimes man just want to go on their field and not have a word inspired to them to do something, and then the most they do, then the person both need to be put to sit down and be instructed. Because if you can't even see the person of faith and not sufficient faith, and know where they're lacking in faith, and know what they need to build their faith and correct their attitude, then how equipped are you to deal with what confronts you? You program the wrong key. You have to know what to deal with. So before anybody can have faith, real steadfast faith, they must be rid of all uncertainty, all double-minded concerning what God has promised you. You must first know what you have in faith in, he says, and that what you are seeking from God, God has promised that to you. Because that's the beginning of faith. Faith is when God will concerning a promise he has made in his word is revealed to you. And you know, God paid for that on Calvary for me. I am in need of it. He has already made available. And he tells me I can approach him. I can come with boldness before the throne of grace. I shall obtain mercy. I shall find grace to help me in time of need. He is the high priest that can be touched by the feeling of my infirmities. And then if I believe with my heart, I'll confess with my mouth. My confession will say exactly what God said. And that means I go to action, because faith without works is dead. If I say I believe it and can't act like it's finished, I don't believe it. It's your faith is only intellectual. It hasn't really taken a hold. Is that right? My. Quickly. Oh my. My time is gone. But I have to get something here. I want to hit this and close. It'll be vain if I can. Let me get to Luke 8 quickly. I want to show you. Jesus is showing the need to be lined up with the word. Thy faith. No man gift has never healed nobody. Today you see so many people have false concept. They are ignorant of the basis upon which they are to receive the blessing. So many need to be taught in order to even keep the very healing. Come into service, feel good, pray for you, you feel good for 2 days. Third day, come right back on you. What happened? Was you healed? Sure you was healed. You only experienced it temporarily, momentarily I should say. Because you know how to keep it. You went right back among unbelievers. And they started talk this and talk that. and talk that the Gabriel, you ain't known, huh? And you better be careful, yes. Remember so-and-so died one time, and God will tell you. And you know how to make them die in church too, eh? Most time that people write in church. Because they sit down there, want to exert the influence and don't know the Bible. And they're anointing somebody with their fear. Because they are insensitive to the person's real need. Not knowing they can help that person by encouraging them to keep praising God and believing God. Sometimes the person's own memory ain't good in place, but the devil anointing them to anoint the person's memory. And the prophet said, you get back among them unbelievers, that spirit of unbelief all around you, it come right back out on you the same way. Like Peter, walking in the water. And then I listen to this voice of this big wave, see this thing over here, watch this over here, this one screaming out in the boat, oh my God! And people, no encouragement. Next thing you go right back down. Because they don't understand what they're dealing with. They don't understand what they're dealing with. Let me show this here. I'm going to close with this. I know I keep it long enough already. I haven't really even preached half of my message, but since December the 31st, I'm in this channel, you know that. And this is what I'm working in to help you. And every individual, whatever your need is, you can come into it by the grace of God. Luke 8, verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him, out of every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. Watch it. One, the fowls devoured. Next one, it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Next thing, it get choked by thorns. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit at 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And the disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. What is this he's speaking? The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking agriculture. He's talking mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Because in Mark 4:13 he said, know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? Because this parable is the foundation of all other parables of the mystery of the kingdom. Catch this. This is the preaching of the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. What is the preaching of the word? The sower sowing the seed. Watch. The parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then come in the devil and take away the word out of their hearts. Lest they should believe and be saved. Could you imagine? Physical salvation, you're healing. Spiritual salvation, you're sold. Could you imagine after this word go for this morning? Somebody come and pick that out to you. Know what's going to happen? You go right back where you was before this word is spoken. Exactly right. You can sit here and see so clear. See where you're making your mistakes. See where the devil had you bound. See where you needed the line up. See where you was double-minded. See where your approach is the wrong approach. See these things. And then somebody take that away from you. You're finished. You're right back where you was. Look. They on the rock are they which when they hear, he's talking about people who hear in the preaching. When they hear, receive the word with joy. Like everybody here this morning. Oh, clapping and choose. When they hear the thoughts in the Bible, when they say, come on, an inspiration. It stimulates them right while they're there. But we're still in the service. Service is done here. When they go back home, all the church members are away from you now. When they get back on the job tomorrow, they're back in the midst of the unbelievers. When you get back, maybe with some critics, and they start the conversation, there is not water in that seed. But they're emptying the unbelief on the seed. Then what's going to happen? Think. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. They hear it, they have joy. But they have joy, but they have no root. It's stimulating the thinking, so they get enthused. While the word is being preached, believers praising God, amen in the word, there's an atmosphere of faith here. Oh, my, they feel light, they could float. But they have no root. They're being stimulated in the thoughts. It brings a joy to them, a blessing to them. My, the devil get exposed here. For a while, believe. But there's no temptation. They know a time of temptation. They fall away. Time of temptation, they fall away. Why? Because in temptation, it better have root. You better be rooted and grounded. It better be sown and kept sowed. I'm going to get to that. How to keep it sowed. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit of perfection. They hear it, but they go right back in the same life. You can't come for. They believe God in church, but they don't come into the healing, they don't come into the deliverance, they don't come back to the Holy Spirit. Why? They're in an atmosphere of pleasure and cares and all these things choking it, and they can't bring no fruit to perfection. Now Jesus is talking about people who are listening to his preaching. He was talking about people while he had that word to bring forth a church that would write a book of Acts. He was planting for that. A church was to follow his ministry and continue his work. Just like the Son of Man in this day was planting for a super race, a super church. But where are they? Where are they? Did you have some of you have faith for healing? But watch. But that and good ground are they which is an honest. So he start with honest. Lord, I realize I don't have faith. Lord, help my unbelief. I come saying if thou wilt. I said, I had the problem with me, not you. See? I told him, my thoughts was lined up with yours. Lord, line me up. I said, I realize I have a confession here, but I have a demon of doubting down here. Honest and good heart. Having heard the word, keep it. In other words, nothing can choke it and kill it. If they have no little root, where it ain't really go down, and no fowl of the air can't pick it out. They got it. Two fowl of the air come to pick it out. I say, you see that conversation? You have to talk. Excuse me. God bless you. I'm not going to slow down, believe. You're trying to rob me. You don't even like the devil anointing to rob me or what God do for me. I can testify to the glory of God, and the devil can tell you I am self. And I glorify him because God make it within my heart. God to me, I have the title deed. And right away I realized, you ain't lying up with what I'm talking about. I'll talk to you the next day. What they doing? They keeping the word I told you. I go on here, somebody want to offer you this, and offer you that, and offer you that. Say, right now, my whole focus, my whole objective is what God doing to me right now. Because I understand what God doing in my life, in my home, in the church, and that is my focus. And I see this is my season and I'm going to come to this. Other things can wait. God will give me a time to get those things. I don't have to run out there right now. I am willing to sacrifice those things for the word's sake right now. You're holding it. To keep it watered. Because you begin to understand how to work with the word. How many understand me? Okay, how many now willing to walk in the air? That's right. That's an attitude God wants. We're finishing up. So let's really make this thought. They keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Abraham, it took him 25 years. Not 25 days. But 25 days, you know, I'm going through this, yes? Abraham waited 25 years. See? The hot house plan. Amidst all the attacks, they hold that seed word of promise and they water it. Now, he said, some, they take it out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. See? The devil robbed them for the basis of their faith. The basis of your faith is what God said. You can never ever get it by trying to work outside of what God said. The God who's going to give it is going to give it by showing you in the word where he give it. And you hold on to that and that bring you to it. You get that? That will bring you to it. My word have no virtue. Some brother word have no virtue. God would have the virtue. Because when we speak God's word, that's not my word, that's God's word. That's what we work with. Healing not in my word, healing in God's word. Now, if you don't keep the seed in your hand, how are you going to get it cropped? I'm making a point here. If you don't keep the seed in your heart, how are you going to get the crop? Every word is a promise. Every word is a seed. Every promise is a seed that God sowed. He said this is evening light, and the evening message is sowing evening time seeds. The evening time promise. And the sower went forth in this age, sowing the precious seed. Because what type of seed you plant is what type of crop you're going to get. You want healing? You say, there's a man going to the word. Find the inspiration on healing. Find the word for healing. Bring it and plant it. People get healed. You want to see a man get saved? Go into the word. Find inspiration for that. Take it out. Plant it. If you can find the right heart, it'll bring forth salvation and life. That's right. You want to see a church be changed and go into rapture? Go into the word. Find those things. Plant those promises. And it will bring forth, it will produce itself and bring forth of its kind in that person's life. They are going to eruption free. Is that right? That's how it's done. You have to find. Henry Ford wants a motor car. Well, you have to find the material to make a motor car in the earth. Worked by the law mechanics and he brought a motor car edge. Then the Wright brothers find the material in the earth to make an aeroplane and they went to the aeroplane edge. Prophet find the material in the world for adoption age and bring an adoption age. Luther found the material for age of justification and get a church justified. He couldn't justify a church without finding a message of justification. Where he couldn't sanctify the church without finding a message. The Pentecostals could come to the rest of the gifts without finding a message in the rest of the gifts. Is that right? They have to find the seed first and plant it. And the people have to hold it. And walk into it and then see it manifest in the life. Is that right? And before this church could have something greater than what you have right now, as the world begins to open up these things you did last 3 months here and challenge you, it's a challenge to the church. It's a challenge to every individual that is part of the assembly. That you have to walk in what the word says. It don't leave no space to sympathize with it. It doesn't even space that John said, I like the church, I like this thing, I like the atmosphere. The world is talking about way beyond that. Now watch. So Jesus is showing. He said, these, follow my meetings. But then they end back up with the Sadducees. When you talk to them, they have nothing I put inside of them. He said, I showed them how to come to healing. I showed them how to come to deliverance. I showed them how to have love. I showed them forgiveness. I showed them how to pray. I still hear the old pray. I showed them how to give. I still see the old way. I showed them how to love and forgive. I went to come to the kingdom. I still see the old attitude. Nothing I saw coming up. He said, then I see the others. They come along. But they never understood the price of separation. So they come like a lot. And they look there in Sodom. And the glamour has sort of paralyzed their faith. And they go back down to the software of the world. Come like Gehazi. Could tell all this story about the prophet. but can't walk in the atmosphere of the prophet in, because they live in that humanistic realm where money and riches and all these things have a grip on them. So the cares of this life choke the seed. The most they'll do is tell stories about the prophet. See? You see, but look at Joseph. They persecute him. They lie on him. They falsely accuse him. They throw him in prison. But he hold that vision. He come out with it. He come into a place with authority. He come out of prison. They couldn't kill him inside of there. He was born to overcome. Look at Elisha. He just stay at Gilgal. Stay at Jericho. Stay here. But we're determined to cross Jordan and get a double portion of that blessing. Is that right? Look at Abraham. They laugh at him. They ridicule him. They persecute him. They kind of destroy his faith. But he believe in hope against hope. He hold that word there. And he defy all the authorities of man. Because he knew God spoke to him. Is that right? Look at Moses. Look at Joshua and Caleb. Look what they went through. To see the promise for the age. They hear Moses speaking these things. And they watch Dathan, and they watch Korah. They watch all these movements rise up. Who run after Korah here? Who run after this one here? Who run after Abiram? Who went by golden calf dancing? Who thought this was a move of God? Who went after Balaam? And them fellas stay watching Moses all the time. Nothing deviated them. Is that right? And they came in, they walk exactly as did with the prophet then. Is that right? That's right. They bring forth fruit of perfection. They manifest those promises. Are you different? You have it inside of you this morning. You have it inside of you this morning. My. Seed is powerless until it is planted. How many hear that? Seed is powerless until it is planted. Though that seed, that one grain of corn, could grow enough corn to feed the whole world and cover Trinidad from Cedrus to the North Coast to the Carnage to Guagayari with corn. One grain of corn! Powerless until it's planted. Do it have faith inside of you to walk out every sickness, defy every devil, put everything on your feet, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Unless you take in that word in your heart and hold that and water it inside you, it's powerless. You'll only read about somebody else doing the Bible. And your faith when you talk about God is what he was, not what he is. It's impossible for a farmer to have faith for a harvest before he was sure that the seed was planted. You get that? Could Jesus tell them go up in the upper room and tarry if he didn't believe his word was planted in them? Now catch this deep here now. Don't get intellectual on me here now. Jesus sent them, go in the upper room. What if they had no seed inside of them? Why did he open the understanding? Why did he deal with their weak faith and correct their faith? When they say, I go back fishing, and they say, well, we thought he risen. Why did he come and rebuke them and shake that thing away from them and upbraid them for the hardness of their heart? Why? Because they have to have seed in them if they go up in the upper room. Otherwise, you have no crop. Because all the congregation, the 7,000 was following them, had already gone back. Fall to the air, take it. Thorns and thistles choke it. He said, they come for bread and fish alone. And he ended up with that little group there. But he knew they had the word inside of them. Is that right? He prayed, Father, these who have received my word. Is that right? He knew they had received that word. You have given them to me. My sheep hear my voice. Peter said, whom shall we go? Thou art the word for eternal life. He knew the word was planted inside of him. He knew the word was just following. Because he's a charismatic personality. Or he gave him a position in the church. They knew they followed because they knew who he was by the Bible. I hope you ain't following this because you have a position in the church. I hope you ain't following because some personality, kind of influence. You look kind of powerful and you like to be around it. I hope you listen close to what comes into my mouth. Like when I speak, you know, that Bible there. Is that word coming forth? And not just here, but take it in your heart. I know, Father, that's your truth.
Because freedom is connected to knowing the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's impossible for a farmer to have faith for a harvest. Be very sure the seed was planted. If I know I planted seed here, and I know there are people in my church who don't believe what I'm preaching, I'm just congregating people and trying to walk myself in the flesh. That's why I was listening to them in the prayer service there. And they begin to testify and make confession of the faith that they begin to see and are willing to walk into and confess. I listen to the song this Sunday morning. It's under the blood. When the devil comes, tell him it's under the blood. I say, Lord, they're catching. The word is falling. Now some there will walk into this. Because before you can have faith to receive God's promises, you must first be certain that the word, and what is the word? The seed of promise has been sown into your heart. Could you look for healing and the revelation healed in your heart? Could you look for salvation, be sure you're saved in that revelation in your heart? Every day we pray, Lord, you know, I want to make it. Lord, I hope I make it. Lord, don't leave me back behind. But you never live in it until it reveals to you what it is and you come in the right way. Because you'll have a false expectation looking for something to come out of your life when it was not sown in your life. Faith comes by hearing, it comes into you. It is deposited in the archives. The title deed is deposited in the archives. And you have the substance, you have the evidence that you own the thing. That's the basis. Because you know God has to keep that word. God cannot. If God will keep that word, he's not God. You have to keep that word. Now watch. The only way that seed can bring forth, Jesus teaching in Luke 8, it has to be kept sown. He is saying there's a possibility of that seed not remaining when it's planted. And if it's planted, you will not get what it's supposed to bring forth if the conditions it is not according to what is required for it to grow. He's not just saying, he ain't going to believe it. A lot of people say, but I believe in healing. I believe Jesus died for me. By his stripes I'm healed. And you'll learn the quote in a few scriptures that pertain to the subject. No. Keep it, water it, until it brings forth what it's supposed to bring forth. If it's not bringing forth what it's supposed to bring forth in your life, then it's going to say, go back and check. Is something choking it? Is something a care that need to weed out? Is it a pleasure? Is it something there that when we pray and watering that it's taking up your time and your energy and have you out of focus? Is it something conflicting on the inside? Is it a leaven there that got purged out? How much people are looking for promises, receive the seed of promise, but don't even know if they still have it, don't even know if it's choke, or can't remember when last they watered. Because it lacks moisture. How many know they have to do something with it? Their thoughts not line up with God's thoughts. No wonder they have knowledge and not faith. Because the only way that word can bring forth, it has to be kept. Jesus said, it must be kept in good ground. It will bring forth fruit to perfection. You come out completely whole, not halfway healed. You come out delivered. You come out without fear. You come out without doubt. You come out without any circumstance but in your faith. You come out of that place triumphant. I want you, while you hear me closing up here, I want you to say, Lord, I believe it in my heart. Lord, I receive it. Lord, you are teaching me how to work and water it. I'm going to start to water this plant. I'm going to put water on this planted word. Now think of this.
A farmer have no real promise that when he plants a seed, he's going to get a crop. You know that? He believes in the Lord next year. He understands if this seed of life, and I put in that ground, and I put water, and that sunlight, this is going to bring forth. He is doing that with an understanding of our Lord next year, and he invests and going to big business and promise the market. He'll supply the demand and he will provide food to feed so much because he's confident in that law. What about you who have a divine promise of God that the seed will bring forth? When you plant that and you hold that and you water that, God will give you 100-fold. You have a promise of God. Now, that farmer so believe in that law. He planted that 2 days past. He says, I wonder that thing growing, boy. Something telling me like, maybe that seed didn't have life, you know, boy. Something tell me, you know, maybe it ain't growing. Maybe a stone on top of it. And that's why it's not come up already. He's impatient. So he goes and he digs it up. And he checks it out and he puts it back in. And 2 days pass. Somebody say, I thought the other day you were saying, you went and you get prayed for, and this was planted, and how, you feeling better yet? And then he says, well, I wonder that really happened, boy. And he dig it up. And he goes back to the doctor, get this opinion, go to this one over here, go to this person, old wife, fable, go on this one, fear, go on this one, who that tormentor, who a word of encouragement never come out of their mouth, and that person, I know the similar spirit, this is a pessimist. And I am hanging around a lot of pessimists. If you can hold that word in your heart, because seed is powerless unless it's planted. Every sick person, every unsaved person, every person in the Holy Spirit, every person looking for total deliverance, every person looking for refilling, every person looking for to live in the promises that God has given, every person that wants to really come into the full, to walk in the fullness of God's revealed will, to see every hindrance, every paralysis, every bit of impotence in the life, move back. If that person this morning can know it is God's will, and they can come and line up with God's thoughts, and let their mind that was in Christ be in them, and let their own thoughts, their own ideas move back, as I try to show you from a couple of places in the world, then you know that the seed is planted. Because the seed is not fully planted until it is known. How can you know you're going to be healed, you're going to be saved, you're going to come into this blessing that you are looking for, that you are trusting God for, if you don't know you have the right understanding, the right approach, that you are meeting God's requirement, that you know the basis upon which you're coming, that God has drop that thing in your heart and you hold it? How can you know that seed is really planted? And if after you know it, you must believe it, that's God's word, like I explained to you this morning, you know it. Then after you hear it and you know that the Bible, I quote the scripture, I show you, I line it up for you, you believe it. You still didn't receive it yet. Then you gotta take that and make that personally yours. And then now you gotta go and start to act on that. Then you know it is planted. Because if you ain't acting upon it, if you're not watering it, then what is the evidence that you really receive it and it's planted in you? And then how can you have expectation looking for the promise, the manifestation of what you receive in seed form, without watering it, so that the power of its potential can be let loose in your life? It must remain planted. It must be kept watered if that thing is to bring forth. Let's stand to our feet.
The prophet says, Message God, believest thou this? He said, Jesus said, the word of God is a seed and a sower sown. And every word of God, every promise of God will bring forth of its kind. What does the farmer do? He sows the wheat. Well, look for the harvest. Next morning, what if he goes and dare and uncover it and say, why? It isn't sprouted. There's nothing to it. I ain't going to have no wheat. Well, if he isn't going to have any wheat, if he keeps digging it up, looking at it, he'll never have wheat. You just sow it and let it alone. There it is. It's up to God to bring it forth. It's up to God to send the rain. And if you accept God and His word, it's up to God to bring His word to pass. No man's worth any more than His word. God's not worth a bit more than what His word is. And I say this with a challenge of faith, that every promise of God will be brought to pass. If you take the right mental attitude, that's right. Look at it and believe it. Message called God revealed Himself to these people. Just what I was trying to do with the woman was trying to get her in the right mental attitude. She wouldn't have to be prayed for. He said, if I could get a woman in the right mental attitude, if I could get this woman of faith here, this church, this Third Exodus Assembly woman, into the right mental attitude, you wouldn't even have to come here to be prayed for. You take that word into your heart. You begin to line up your thoughts with God's thoughts. Line up your desires with His desires. Begin to work together with His word. Come on the basis that He has given it. Knowing that it is His will to do it. There's no uncertainty about that. Faith can begin to take a hold when faith knows that it is God's will. You have a basis of faith. You have something to tie to now. You have something that's unshakable. You have a foundation. You have the substance that will take you the very thing that you are expecting to receive from Him. The word of God is a seed that is sowed in the ground. And every seed will bring forth of its kind. If you need salvation, the seed's here. If you need healing, here's your seed in the word. The word of God is a seed. Put it in your heart. Don't dig it up every morning to see if it's sprouted. Put it in there and leave it. It's God's business to bring forth the harvest. You just leave it there. Water it by faith. And praise every day. Thanking God for it. Go to acting like it's already done. Matthew 8:13. He tells the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it unto you. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. As thou hast believed, go thy way. Jesus never claimed to heal anybody. How many know that? It's not I that doeth the works, but it's my Father that dwelleth in me that doeth the works. He said, if Jesus never claimed to do it, which man can claim he has power to heal? Jesus never even claimed it himself. And no man has power to heal anybody. Healing lies in you who is coming to be prayed for. It is your faith that brings your healing to you. He corrected the man. He said, I will. Can you believe? Other man said, Lord, if thou canst do anything, he said, if thou canst believe. Matthew 9:21-22. The woman who touched his garment, said, I touch her, behold. Jesus turned up about him. When he saw, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. He didn't say, I heal you. Thy faith hath made thee whole. He said, notice, God didn't show Jesus. He said, but I was being sent into the spirit. He knew he felt weak. He knew virtue left him. So he was looking around where the pull of faith had come from. The two blind men came. They said, Lord, will you open our eyes, our sight? He said, you believe I can do this? He said, according to your faith be unto you. Matthew 15:27-28. This African woman. She said, truth, Lord. He said, yet the dogs did come to the master table. And Jesus answered and said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. Mark 2, verse 4 and 5. And when they would come nigh unto him, they couldn't come because of the press. They had covered the roof where he was. And when they had broke it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven. When he saw their faith. Mark 10, 51 and 52. The blind man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately receive his sight. Luke 7, verse 47 to 50. The one who washed his feet with the tears. He said unto thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Thy faith hath saved thee. Luke 8, 49 and 50. While he had spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, only believe, and she shall be made whole. Luke 17, verse 17 to 19, and Jesus answering with the 10 lepers, who did not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said to him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Acts 14, 8 to 10, Paul preaching, there sat a man of Lystra, important in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. He perceived he had faith to be healed. Every time in the Bible somebody was healed, it wasn't Jesus doing it. It was your faith. Thy faith. Thy faith. Thy faith. Thy faith. Thy faith. No gift has ever healed nobody. Gifts and callings is to stimulate faith. By declaring that God is present. By instructing you. By teaching you the approach. By building up your faith into a promise that you don't have. By giving you something to rest on and that you can tie to. By showing you things in your life that can hinder you from coming to the blessing. That's what gifts are for into the church. By preaching. By discernment. By a word of knowledge. By prophecy. To help build your faith. To receive what is already done. So much people, they go to the preacher, better pray for me, you know, they think he has magic or you have a special prayer. Oh my. And then some poor preachers really believe they have that magic prayer and that special shake and that special squeeze. So they try to squeeze the person in the head or they try to get them a certain shake. Or they're trying to do something. And smart people's minds are messed up. The only way you'll ever receive anything from God, it has to be revealed to you. Otherwise you have faith to receive. Many people have a mental faith that believe that God could do it. But real faith knows that God would do it. When it's quickened to you, it'll be made personal to you. Thy faith. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. Nowhere Jesus said he ever healed anybody. They came to the prophet. He said, so much of ministers come to me saying, Brother Abraham, wouldn't you lay hands on me? I get to give a healing too. He said, you'll have a poor gift. Because these things are foreordained of God. I can't give that. God has set in the church. He said, give a healing, don't be in power to heal. Because healing is a finished work. By his stripes you will heal. Every promise is already finished. Salvation and healing is already done. But seven thunders, you know what it does? Gives us faith. It opens up the word. It reveals the mysteries. It turns our heart back to the feet of our Father. It aligns up our thinking with God's word. It brings us into agreement. It ties us to the absolute. Give us a foundation, a title deed, substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you know it's settled in your heart. I trust today that in this simple way, this broken up way, trying to bring that to your heart, see my poor brother and sister, take these things, listen it over, chew it back over, open your Bible when you get quiet, apply it into your life as the blood and the lintel and the two cycles in the right places to bring the covenant in the effect, to shut death on the outside, to bring you into peace and fellowship with God on the inside, to give you the assurance in this dark hour that we live in. You will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that just like it tells them, from the Lebanon, the river Euphrates, to the going down, to all the things of your body, all the things of your spirit, all the things of your soul, I have given unto you. But now, be strong and of good courage. Let me lead you. Let me give you the strategy. Let me teach you how to fight the enemy. Let me teach you how to make it your personal possession that you can live in it. That is what he was doing in Ephesians, in Joshua. He was bringing them to fight and take and live and make personal what God had given by promise. And when the ark was in the midst of Jordan, that was Christ on the cross, destroying the power of death to bring them into an inheritance that they were to live in. Is that right? And that's exactly what the New Testament teaches. It's yours, my brother and my sister. This is not psychology. You have the original gospel. Without any psychology, brought you to a place, to your heart, made personal to you, that you can come in to living the enjoyment and the benefit of what God has given on Calvary, what you have made available through the opening of the seven seals, what you have restored our hearts back to. He ain't over the veils of tradition, historical veils, denominational veils, to live in the realities, the unfailing realities of the living God again. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Oh, how we thank him. And I want you right where you stand. You stand where you were sitting. And where you were sitting, you were believing. And while you're hearing the word, you're mixing with faith. And you had come this morning to hear, knowing that faith come by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And now that the word have gone forth, this seed is planted into your heart. And you focus as an individual on the things in your life. You say, Lord, for the past 3 months, you've been speaking to me, Lord. Your desire, your objective is that I would not have no more hindrances. The places that held me paralyzed. The places that kept me back. The places that I struggle with. Lord, you are putting the key in my hands. You are giving me authority over these things by giving me revelation concerning it. That I can come into these things. And I'm like that woman. I hear the word of the prophet. I'm mixing the meal and the oil. I'm bringing two sticks. I'm agreeing with the word. I'm not trying to evade. I'm lining up with what it said. I'm willing to come to self-sacrifice. I'm laying aside my thoughts. I'm expected to see what is spoken by the mouth of your prophet. Lord, I'm believing and receiving your gift that you sent to me. I believe in the angel of God. I believe in the angel of the age. I believe in the angel of the church. This is your word, Father. You sent it to me. And as I stand in your presence today, I'm acknowledging in your presence, Lord, I believe. I believe with all my heart and all my soul. I believe. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your wonderful name, O God. We rejoice in your mighty presence today. We thank you for your quickening power. We thank you for the revelation of your word. We thank you, Lord, for these divinely revealed mystery truths. We thank you for the Holy Spirit giving unction and utterance to declare the true saints of God. We thank you, dear God, that you know our needs. You understand our struggles. You see our hindrances. And dear God, you are showing us how to overcome these things, Father. How to fight this battle. You are giving us strategy. You are showing us the tactics of the enemy. Lord God, you are making us strong in this warfare, that we might endure hardness, that we might fight the good warfare. You are making your word mighty, that we can pull down every stronghold, because you are determined to bring us into every divine blessing. All that you have spoken, all that you have promised, Father, and we are receiving these things today. We are claiming it, Lord. We believe with our heart, and we confess with our mouths. You said we shall never be ashamed. Oh God, like Hattie Wright, we said that's nothing but the truth. Oh Jesus, make it real, Lord. May, Lord, your Holy Spirit, Lord, plant that deep down on the inside. Because we know when faith finds its bedding ground, no circumstances shall be considered. Abraham considered that his own body now dead, but he was strong in faith, giving praise and glory unto God. Those symptoms couldn't paralyze his faith. Lord, move us up into that sphere today, Father. Oh, God, may you grant it, Lord. May you grant it today. Help that young man. Help that young woman, Lord. Oh, God, help that sick person today, Father. Help that one, Father, who have struggled, Lord, who the enemy have beaten down, whom we have kept in mind battles, Lord, who you have lied to, who you have seduced, oh God, and make you feel that, Lord, is not your will, and he held them double-minded and uncertain. But Lord, you are making them certain of God, certain of your faithfulness. Now they can stand fast and hold their profession, the confession of the faith without wavering. Let them see today, Father, the power in true confession, Lord. Lord, they need to confess these things, to say the same thing, Lord, to walk in it, to create that atmosphere. May you grant it, O God. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, those who are tired of living under privilege, those, O God, who have been beaten down every time they try to rise up, may today they rise up and begin to tell that devil boo, O God, and boo him out of existence. And not be intimidated, and not be tormented, and not be held down. Almighty God, may you grant it, Father. Give them courage, like you told Joshua. Only be thou strong, and be thou courageous. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That they can fight the fight of faith, and not giving a buckle under the enemy, not roll over and die, but stand after having done all to stand, stand. Oh God! And not fight that one that beat at the end, but learn how to take the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and go forth and wage a good warfare until they cut the way through every divine blessing. Until, Lord, we see a church, oh God, that know you are alive in the midst, in their own life, who know that you are confirmed that the faith that of God that moves in them, that's the believer. Hallelujah! That the very confession of the life can be the same. May you grant it, Lord. May you grant it today. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we give you praise and thanks. We ask all these mercies, Lord. We ask these blessings in thy precious name. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Through your union with him, draw the strength. Put on the armor he has given you. Oh, my, let us worship in that song. And be determined, amen. Hallelujah. You love him? You appreciate his word? Be victorious.
and through your union. Union with Him, God, your strength. Oh, put on the armor that God supplies, that you may be able to stand. Oh, sing again, be strong in the Lord. In the Lord be empowered, and to your union draw your strength. Hallelujah! Put on the armor that God supplies, that we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. With flesh and blood. Contending with physical things now. Oh, but we are standing in faith. In faith. Against the rulers of this world. Empowered by His Spirit. In the authority of His name. Oh, be strong, my brother. Surely be strong this morning. Fight for every inch of ground. And through your union, this great captain who have come down to take the headship of his body. Oh, thank you, Lord. Put on the armor that God supply, that you may be able to stand, having shod your feet, girded your loins this morning, and a soldier engaged in battle. Oh, the breastplate of righteousness. And the helmet. The shield of faith. And the sword of the Spirit. Oh, be strong, soldiers. In the Lord be empowered. Hallelujah. That God supplies, that you may be able to stand. Now standing complete in His image, refusing to be shaken from your place. Oh, and praying at all times in the Spirit of the Lord, interceding on behalf. Lord, help my brother, help my sister, lift their faith into the place. Oh God, I'm holding my token, I'm believing for them that you will drop it into their heart today. Complete in His image. You're so tied to that absolute refusing to be shaken. Your place so clearly revealed to you. You're breaking up, mounted up with power. A prayer focused, concentrated,
praying according to the will of God.
Interceding on behalf of all saints. Be strong in the Lord, be empowered. Hallelujah. Draw your strength. Put on the armor. God supply. You may be able to stand.
How many of you today can say, I think I understand more clearly now. I think I see it. I think I'm beginning to get a grip upon it.
God bless your heart. May your faith lead you to the power, and the power produce every promise in your life.
Out of your faith, give virtue to strengthen one another. Knowledge to know what they have need of, where they are failing. Temperance to bear with them, patience to wait. Let them grow up in this faith, and you will see a real church on the road.
Oh my, blessed be his wonderful name.
You may have your seat. I wonder if the saints would come and sing that song. God bless. Every ordained tribe. Great is the Lord who ordained every tribe.
Then after this you can sing. All things under my feet.
I want to see a church. After you hear that word, you believe it. You recognize the truth. You go to acting upon it. And you watch God bring it to pass.
The prophet lay out these things. He showed us the divine order.
He break it down step by step. To show what he had tried to bring a Pentecostal age into. And they couldn't walk into it. The supernatural, the phenomena, made them impersonators. Made people run out thinking that power to heal in their hand. Some special kind of prayer, magic formula prayer to bring instant something. Then we look in the Bible. It is your faith that heals you. It is your faith that saves you. It is your faith that brings... He said, no man is a divine savior by preaching salvation. And no man is a divine healer by preaching divine healing. It only lets you know what God has done for you. Gifts are to build your faith. And that's why God sent ministers. And then God sent gifts. Also 1 Corinthians 12. To help stimulate that faith. You can walk in these things.
Great is the Lord who ordained my every trial that I stand faithful in the midst of circumstances. Great is the Lord who has proven by his dying he has redeemed and he has restored all things. When I am weak, my God is strong. He calls to walk into a faith I've never known and lift me high. He unlocked the doors of faith and anoints my soul for a rapturing condition. Restore my torment at Calvary, brought me perfect faith. Our torment at Calvary brought us perfect faith.
Ooh. Great is the Lord who ordained my every trial, that I stand faithful in the midst of circumstances. Great is the Lord, who has proven by his dying that he has redeemed. And he had restored all days. When I am weak, thou art strong.
Hallelujah.
You caused me to walk into a faith I've never known.
And lift me high.
Hallelujah.
This is some water upon the seed field.
From a place of sin and bondage, taskmasters held me bound. You see, I was living under privilege, constructing Satan's Eden. But then an angel from God came to me with a word, a mystery of who I really am. He said, you came from God, you go back to God, come and live in your inheritance. Every place that your feet tread,
Connected Assemblies, the Sharon to the Shamin Sikasad, would like to express their heartfelt gratitude and appreciation to the saints who supported them by their presence, prayers, words of encouragement, and in any other way during their time of bereavement, in the passing away of their dearly beloved brother Cedric Sikasad. May the Lord richly bless you for all your love. Amen. The Sharon to the Shamin. Amen. We're simply glad to know that they feel comforted, feel ministered to. Amen.
God bless you all, saints. While I was sitting there this morning, Holy Spirit bring back certain things to remembrance that God had done for me a couple years ago. And I never honor him in that way, you know, to bring it to you all and, you know, let you all know that I've received my healing, you know, from another limb that was out of place. Hip was out of place. And I was supposed to go to Miami to do an operation, which specialists down in Trinidad here told me that I have to do if I have to get it back in place. And I stood there and, you know, believing God. But I just remembering how servant here this morning was talking about sometimes when that little doubt get back inside of there, how you could get back, you know, that sickness would, you know, want to come back upon you. I remember sitting in my seat many times and the word would be going forth and I would say, Lord, this is my time, and I would jump up and I would, because I couldn't walk properly, I couldn't sit down properly, I had to put my hand on the seat to sit down. And I would just rise up like that, and, you know, I'd get my healing. And then as I walk outside, somebody would see me walking probably from the morning before and say, hey, I was supposed to ask you, well, want to, you know, your limb. And everything would just, you know, drop back to the ground. And I asked God for a sign, you know, that he would heal me. And he did give me that sign one morning about 3 o'clock. I used to be crying day and night because as a young person, to be functioning, you know, without that, you know, it just wasn't right for me, you know. And I said, Lord, you promised it, and you said if I confess it, I could get it. And I stood there and confessed that he is able. And since, to be honest with you all, I can't tell when this left me. I cannot tell exactly when it left me, but all I know that I have received my healing, and I just want to give God all the praise and all the honor.
Amen. Hallelujah. Bible says, which is easy to say, thy sins be forgiven, or take up your bed and walk. Where's your bed? Tell these people their sins are under the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. Let young men confess this faith. This faith that God is lifting up the church into this hour. Amen.
Glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. We receive a word like that, truly we could know we could really apply the faith. Amen. Hallelujah.
Locked up deep inside, God, she placed there for this final ride. You have the faith for your victory. You can move mountains if you'll only believe. So if you are living in captivity and there seems to be no way out, my friend, God's word has said you. So apply the faith that God has given you. You don't have to be defeated. God's word will see you through. Stand and proclaim in Jesus' name. You promised inheritance. So if the enemy still comes in like a flood, turn your sins. They are all under the blood. Christ was crucified for. We have the key to all the enemy's schemes. Seven seals have been revealed. Now stand and proclaim your victory. So apply the faith. Promised inheritance. So if the enemy still comes and like a flood telling your sins, they are all under the blood. Was crucified for. We have the key to all the enemy's schemes, and seven seals have been revealed. Now stand and proclaim your victory. Won't you apply the faith that my God has given you? You don't have to be defeated. God's word will see you through. Stand and proclaim in Jesus' name your promised inheritance. So if the enemy still comes in like a flood, tell him your sins. They are all under the blood. Won't you apply the faith that my God has given you? You don't. God's word will see you. Stand and proclaim in Jesus' name your promised inheritance. So if the enemy still comes in like a flood, telling your sins, they are all under the blood. Won't you apply the faith that God has given you? You don't have to be. Your promised inheritance. So if the enemy still comes in like a flood, tell him your sin. Oh, they are all under the blood. Oh, won't you apply the faith that my God has given you? You don't have to be defeated. God's word will see you through. Stand and proclaim. So if the enemy still comes in like a flood, tell him your sins. They are all under the blood.
Apply the faith, amen. When the enemy comes like a flood, tell him your sins there under the blood. Oh, let us give God a run of praise in this place, amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I feel like Easter is still on, amen. He's appearing, showing himself alive by infallible proofs, speaking things pertaining to the kingdom. Amen. Getting those out of order back in step by the grace of God. My, what are you going to do with all this faith? What are you going to do in an atmosphere like this? What are you going to do when young people rise up and confess in their faith? Inspiration strike, you know, they pick up their pen and they write. It amazes me sometimes to hear the things that they write. Where they get these things from, amen. There ought to be eagles flying up there, I tell you, amen. Hallelujah. I thank God for them, amen. That God put them here. I remember the days I used to plead and cry and beg and say, oh God, I love singing so much. I just want to follow some little 2x4 singers all over the country. Amen. Not knowing God is going to put them right inside of here. Make them write songs. Make them write things. Amen. Oh, brother. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. The grace of Almighty God. And you know it's a battle is on. And you know it's a great fight to possess these promises. And you hear the songs tell you, stand up in your inheritance. Rise up and claim your inheritance. It's a time of warfare. And out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God is perfecting praise. He's ordained strength. Amen. By the word and by the song. Back in Wesley days, John would preach and Charles would sing. Amen. Hallelujah. God sent in the word prophetic singing. That's why David sang prophetic songs. Jesus went down into hell holding on to words from the songs of David. Blessed be his wonderful name. And I want to encourage you before you leave. As you've heard the word today, you've come into this house. He saturates your heart with his Holy Spirit. He put his word deep down inside of you. He watered it with praise. And you know the battle is going to get severe. The enemy has already left this place. He's outside trying to garrison some of his troops. He's trying to kind of wait for where different ones can be passing. Where he could get you in a smaller crowd. Where he could get you by ones and by twos. He's waiting at your door for you when you get home. Amen. He's going to try everything to upset you. And try to rub you from these things. But after you have done all to stand. Stand. Hallelujah! Stand regardless. You don't roll over and die. You don't get intimidated. You don't get bluffed. You don't get bombarded. You stand here. And you let the devil know you ain't no hothouse plant. You ain't no pushover. You ain't no hybrid. You are thoroughbreds. Pedigree by the grace of Almighty God. Amen. So I want to close with that. I want to call them boys to sing. Stand. After you have done all to stand. Stand. And you leave this place with your armors gleaming and your colors streaming. And you walk out there with some attitude. Amen. You walk out there with some body language. You see how them fellas kind of walk? When they kind of walk, they know they're on top of things by the grace of God. Don't mess with them. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. Yes, sir.
You're a great church, amen. May God come to bless you and inspire you. Keep you faithful. Your brothers from Zimbabwe called yesterday. They wanted to make sure I give you greetings from Zimbabwe. I don't want to, they sent some Dominic and had a little conference call last night. They want me to tell you they're back home, safe, everything's all right. They're ready for service this morning. They was all geared up and just walking their things and the way that they've been instructed. Looking forward for God to come to bless him. And on our side here, we want to keep the fight on. We want to keep driving the sword to the heart of the enemy. And may God give you full, complete victory by prayer. God bless you all.
All you can, and seems like it's never enough. Tell me, what do you say when friends turn away and you're alone? You're alone. What when you give him your all and seems like you can't make it through, well, you just stand. When there's nothing left to do, you just stand. Watch the Lord see you through. Just after you've done all, just
heart has been broken and filled with pain. Tell me, what do you do
when you give in your all and it seems like you can't make it through? Will you just stand when there's nothing left to do? You just stand, watch the Lord see you through. Yes, after you've done all you can, you just stand and be sure. Be not in bondage by the bondage of sin.
You just
baptism service right away. I agree. Just want to sing the song. I recognize the voice. Amen. I've understood the call. 223. recognize the voice. I've understood the call. I have seen the beauty of my feet. It's He who called my name. It is. And His mercy, oh, I have recognized the yeah, I will turn my back to sin. I will turn, let Your love pull me in. Knowing wisdom begins, knowing wisdom begins with turn my trembling to favor. Turn my trembling as I learn daily to serve. For I've recognized the voice that draws me near. The voice that draws me near. I've recognized.